Good morning, everybody. How you doing? Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. And hey, how's it going? We're live in the Allstate Skyline studio here until 5 a.m. I'm your overnight dude, 1 a.m. to 5 a.m. It is Monday morning. That means we'll do the Monday morning movie reviews in just a couple of minutes. Eric Childress, Colin Suter join me every week to talk about the new movies. And we've got a lot of stuff to talk about. And we're also going to talk about movies that make you cry. So think about that. Movies that make you cry. We'll get to that a little bit later on. Our phone number is 312-981-7200. My dad's going to call in and tell a joke because it's Monday and it's a jokey time. So we'll hear a joke from my dad and much more. Our phone number is 312-981-7200. You can follow us on Twitter at Nick D Show. Best way to stay connected is on our Facebook page. It's updated constantly, and it's interactive, and it's facebook.com/Nick D Show. So like us right now. All right, let me say hello to my great producer, Dan Shigrew. Hello, Dan.
Howdy, Nick.
How are you?
Good, man. How about yourself?
All right. Good weekend?
Yeah, the girls are both battling a cough, so that's a little bit of a bummer. But I had an impromptu guys' night on Friday night.
You did?
So that was fun.
How did that happen?
Hazel, who is Adrian's wife, got a last-minute invite to Justin Timberlake.
Oh!
So that meant Adrian was free, and he's like, hey, want to go out? And I was just like, I actually slept today, so yes, I will go.
How
and
about
my buddy
that?
And my buddy Bill's like, I'll go. And so we went to Chief O'Neill's, which was our old stomping grounds.
Sure.
And had a good conversation and a good night. So
that's cool, man.
Yeah.
Another reason to like Justin Timberlake.
Yeah, exactly.
So, all right, cool. Yeah. Yeah, that's cool. And Vic Vaughn is in the newsroom. Vic, how are you?
I'm doing well, Nick.
All right, how was your weekend?
Pretty good.
Okay. Did anybody watch the insane hockey game last night?
I did not.
I did not either.
Absolutely nuts. We'll play back the Express later on, but it was completely insane.
Yeah, I kept up with it on social media, but I didn't get to watch it.
It was completely nuts.
It was
nuts, especially the third period.
For some reason, because I was watching it on social media and I went to bed, for some reason I thought they won until I came in and saw this.
Yeah, no, they didn't. But it was a crazy game. I mean, you'll hear it when we play back the Express, and John and Troy are just go. I mean, it was nuts, and it ended up 7-6. It went back and forth. Yeah,
and you might have confused it with the overtime winning game before that and the overtime winning game before
exactly.
that.
First three games all go to OT.
Yep.
High scoring.
Roger was just reminding me of that. Yep.
They were all OT. All three games were OT. They lost last night, but they got a point. They ended up getting 5 out of a possible 6 points in their first three games. That's a great way to start. And Taves is on fire. You know, he had a rough year last year. He underperformed last year. He'd be the first to tell you that. But he is on fire, and so is Kaner. Defensively, I'm still a little upset with what's going on in their zone. But there's no denying that they started off on fire. I mean, 5 out of a possible 6 points in their first three games all go to OT. Now they get a little rest because the next game's not till Thursday. So they're going to need a rest after what happened. After what happened last night, really, I mean, completely crazy. One of the most entertaining and crazy games of the year, and it's only third game in. So, anyway, we'll have the Blackhawks Express. That's coming up. That'll be after my dad tells a joke. My dad will tell a joke, and then we'll play the Express. That's all coming up here on the show. And again, if you want to get a hold of us, you can check us out on Twitter at Nick D Show, facebook.com/Nick D Show. And for talk and text, it's 312-981-7200 on this Monday morning show. And get ready to talk about movies that make you cry. We're going to do that a little bit later on. But speaking of movies, we have to take a break here. Eric Childress, Colin Suter, my film critic buddies, they join me every Monday morning to talk about the new movies, and we got a lot to talk about this morning. So why don't we take a break, and when we come back, they'll be here, and we'll do the Monday morning movie reviews. Well, welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We are live in the Allstate Skyline studio here until 5 a.m. It is Monday morning. That means my dad's going to call in and tell a joke because it's a jokey time. And we are going to talk about movies that make you cry. And much more. Our phone number is 312-981-7200. 312-981-7200 for talk and text. And, it is a Monday morning, which also means it's time for the Monday morning movie reviews. Every Monday morning, Eric Childress and Colin Suter join me to review the new movies. We've got a bunch of new movies to talk about, and then Eric and I are going to talk about the box office results for this past weekend as well. 312-981-7200 for talk and text. And let's get the guys in here and get the movie reviews going. Here is Eric Childress. Eric, welcome.
Thank you.
And Colin Suter. Colin, welcome.
Thank you.
All right. Some interesting stuff at the box office here, Eric. We'll talk about this later, but man, I was stunned by the numbers that Venom did.
Me too.
I mean, my God.
Yeah, I don't get it.
Yeah.
And there's a bit to talk about with those numbers that thing going forward is going to be kind of interesting.
Okay. All right. Well, we're going to do that. And let's get into some movies right now. Eric, tell us about All About Nina.
Okay, this film stars Mary Elizabeth Winstead as a stand-up comedian who is, she's single, she keeps men generally at an arm's length as far as serious relationships are concerned. The movie begins, she's currently in a questionable relationship in a couple different respects. She doesn't want to get too close to anybody, and she uses, as many comedians do, a lot of her life experiences in her stand-up routine, which is frequently sort of dedicated to male and female relationships. But through the course of her time doing stand-up, she ends up meeting a new guy played by Common, who is kind of the exact opposite of all the guys that she has been with, or her perception of guys that she hasn't been with. He's a real gentleman. He seems to really care for her. But as characters like this tend to be, that they tend to be very skeptical of jumping into that type of relationship, because they just don't want to get themselves hurt. She's also on the side scenes kind of a spiritual guru and lives with her on occasion. That's an aspect of the film that doesn't quite work as well. But what really does work is Mary Elizabeth Winstead. Her performance in this movie is really the reason to see it. I think we've seen enough movies about stand-up comics, and I think one of the things I think we can all agree on when we see movies about stand-up comics is that usually the material in the movie is generally not particularly good. You can kind of see why they're struggling, stand-up comics, because their material isn't that great. But here, even though it might not be all-around laugh-out-loud funny, there's a real connection to this character, and there's a real connection to her experiences that really inform on the comedy. So while there are bits in her work that are laugh-worthy, we really kind of see exactly where she's coming from when she's uttering these words on stage. There's a terrific early scene where she's actually kind of walking through her apartment, kind of massaging the material, trying to figure out exactly the best way to word some of these things. And then Winstead's performance in the movie, she's actually a pretty gifted mimic. She actually does impressions in the film that are actually quite good. And I think that the scenes between her and Common work very well as well. Common is, is a very charming screen presence and has a tendency to believe what he's saying, because he just kind of has a cool, calm demeanor about him. And I think their scenes work together as well. It's not a perfect film by any stretch, but the performance by Winstead is really strong, and I think that what the film is ultimately leading up to is obviously something that is very much on everyone's minds today. And I think it kind of one of those things that kind of informs you, kind of go back throughout the movie and kind of see where this character has been and why she is the way she is. So I think that this is a good film, a little film kind of off the radar, and I hope people find it, because this is really one of her best performances, I think.
Yeah, well, I'm a huge fan of hers, man. I think she's great. I love her in everything. I especially loved her in the last season of Fargo. She was so great.
Oh, terrific.
Oh,
yeah.
My God. But she's great in everything, and since this is sort of, like her star turn, I'm really excited to see it, except that it's only playing in Yorktown and in Hodgkin's.
Yeah. We're probably lucky that we even got that much.
I don't know. And I checked, and it's not on the VOD, because I was going to watch it over the weekend, but it's not on the VOD. So
yeah, that's unfortunate.
It is. I mean, she's terrific, and I will. Once it's available, For viewing at home, I will definitely watch it. So that's All About Nina. Not an easy movie to find, but a good one if you are a Mary Elizabeth Winstead fan. And who isn't? That's the question. Colin, tell us about Science Fair.
All right. Well, this is a documentary about what else? A science fair. But this is like the granddaddy of all science fairs. It's the International Science and Engineering Fair. And this draws in about 1,700 of the smartest teenagers in, from around the world, or 78 different countries, those are the numbers I have here. And they face off, and only one will be named Best in Fair. And the film follows nine students from around the world who are working on some very intense science projects, such as looking for a way to stop the Zika virus from spreading, the cognitive effects of drugs and alcohol on risk-taking youths is another project, and other projects that will undoubtedly be beyond the comprehension of the average viewer who failed at least one science class in middle school. But I digress. And the kids that the movie follows are, you know, from different countries, different backgrounds, and have the generally the right attitude when it comes to competing in these circles, meaning, you know, it's not about the prize, it's about the work. And you know, I think the movie, I think the filmmakers here did a pretty good job of picking and vetting their subjects. Some are more interesting than others, and you know, it is kind of a risk that you take if you're going to follow nine students out of like a potential, you know, like I said, 1,700. You know, you hope that at least one of them has some kind of arc to, you know, to carry the film along at, you know, towards the end, and the film kind of has that, but at the same time, there's something kind of nice about the ending, whether your word that is anticlimactic for some of them. And you know, this is, if it sounds like I just described a high school version of Spellbound from 2003, you know, you'd be right. It is pretty much that, and it's there's generally not a whole lot of a change in the formula for that. You know, this is the kind of documentary we've seen many times. It's kind of it kind of plays out how you would expect a documentary about a science fair and people competing in it, you know, how it would play out. I have no doubt that, I mean, I haven't seen every episode of documentary now, but I have a feeling this formula has been parodied already, maybe, or will be soon. But that being said, I mean, that is not to say this is a failure or any kind. It's just formulaic, but it's a formula that works, and it works here too. Generally, I can't say I was as emotionally drawn in as I was, you know, when I saw Spellbound. It's not as, you know, the characters aren't quite as quirky; they're a little more serious. I mean, not that they weren't serious in Spellbound, but you know what I mean. They're a little more mature, I guess I would say. But I think the movie gets by on a lot of, you know, on the message of, you know, just hard work and presentation and being able to sell yourself, which is a big part of this thing. It's not just about the work, but it's about how you present yourself. And I think that's how these nine students got by, you know, got to be in this documentary and be the focus of it, because they're very engaging and you know how to talk to the camera and know how to present what they have. It's definitely a message that needs to be put out there. It's obviously, you know, we need more scientists and engineers out there, and the message of that is obviously, you know, very potent nowadays, but it's also, you know, just about confidence level and you know, just and sort of, you know, working the room and being your best self in front of important people. And I think that's a good message for teenagers to have, and I think it was a good message for teachers to have as well. So I'm recommending the movie. It's not great. It's formulaic, like I said, but it is good at what it is, you know, what it tries to do, and it achieves most of what it wants to achieve. It's an entertaining film, and it's playing right now at the Cisco Center.
Okay.
And we'll be playing at the Wilmette Theater in a couple weeks, I think.
All right, cool. All right, that's a documentary called Science Fair. Okay, guys, hang on, okay?
Mm-hmm.
All right, Eric Childress, Colin Suter join me every Monday morning to review the new movies. We've got more to review coming up, but we got a break right now for the news here on 720 WGN. Welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We're live in the Allstate Skyline Studio. It is a Monday morning, which means my dad's going to call and tell a joke because it's a jokey time. And we are here till 5 a.m. Steve Grzanich has the opening bell at 5. The great Steve Cochran at 6 has your morning drive. And we're going to be talking about movies that make you cry and so much more. 312-981-7200 for talk and text. 312-981-7200. You can also follow us on Twitter at Nick D Show. Best way to stay connected is on our Facebook page, facebook.com/Nick D Show. And it is Monday morning, which means it's the Monday morning movie reviews. Eric Childress, Colin Suter join me every Monday morning to review the movies. Let's welcome Eric back. Welcome back, Eric.
Thank you.
And welcome back, Colin.
Thank you.
All right. Eric, tell us about Private Life.
Okay, this is a film that I talked about from Sundance this year. The opening night movie, actually, or one of them. This is a new film from Tamara Jenkins, who did a good film many years ago called The Savages with Laura Linney and Philip Seymour Hoffman. This is the first film that she's written a couple things, but this is the first thing that she's directed since then. And it stars Catherine Hahn and Paul Giamatti as a married couple who have been trying desperately for years to have a child. They have basically exhausted all the possible scientific methods that they can go through. There's a problem with Paul Giamatti's body that's also causing further issues. And it seems like they might be at the end of their rope, but, you know, there is possible hope if they can find someone to possibly, to use someone else's eggs to produce. Thankfully, they have a couple. A couple that are friends, played by John Carroll Lynch and Molly Shannon, that they've been friends with for many years, and they have a college-age daughter in her 20s who's been around them for a good portion of their lives. They know each other very well. It's almost like they're second parents to this child. And at one point, she drops out of college, and instead of wanting to go back home, she decides to stay with Giamatti and Han. And so they give her, a home to stay for a while. And it dawns on them the possibility that maybe she might be the right person to go through with this plan. And she agrees to it. Then it comes the opportunity to tell her parents about the situation. This is a movie that is kind of a movie in two halves, in a way, because the stuff with Han and Giamatti rings really true. The two of them are really fantastic in this movie. It's probably Han's best work to date, and Giamatti is, well, Giamatti. And all the stuff that they go through, all the conversations and everything, when it's just kind of focused on them and the pain that they're going through, whether or not that they're even at a point that they even should be going through with this, all of that stuff works on a really beautiful, sad level. The stuff with the daughter, the college-age daughter, I think is a much more problematic. I think the actress playing her is not particularly good. I think that they spend a little too much time on her own private life, including this kind of a potential blossoming romance that kind of gets in the way of things that I don't think is particularly fleshed out very well. And even the sort of the big scene where
they have to tell their friends that they're going to use their daughter to do this is really kind of a particularly bad scene. And Molly Shannon is not particularly good when it comes to the hysterical aspects of this film, when it tries to kind of, you know, lean into that comedy a little bit. And the movie, you know, it kind of sounds like a comic premise, a really bad comic premise sometimes. There really is a lot of truth in what we see from Han and Giamatti. I mean, the final scene of this movie is really quite devastating. But, you know, it's a film that I can't fully get behind because I think that, I mean, the movie runs over 2 hours long. Unless it's been cut since Sundance, I'm not aware that it has. But it was well over 2 hours long when I saw it. And if it could have been shortened, you could have cut out a lot of the stuff with the daughter. I think you would have had a tighter film. You would have had a more resolute film. But I can't tell people to stay away from it just because the performances of Han and Giamatti are really two of the best performances of the year.
Oh, okay. It's 2 hours and 3 minutes, so I don't know how.
That's about right. Yeah.
And it's playing at the Renaissance, but it's also a Netflix film.
Right.
So you can watch it on Netflix. You know, I remember you talking about this movie, but I wasn't aware that it was on the radar so soon. I had forgotten the title of it, but man, what a cast.
Jeez. Yeah.
I mean, man. All right. It's like they put a bunch of my favorite people in one movie. So,
yeah, I think you're really going to dig it. I think some of the flaws that I found in it, you might overlook a little bit more of that.
Okay. All right. Well, that's Private Life. I'm definitely going to watch it. It's on Netflix. So there you go. All right. Colin?
Yep.
Tell us about Venom.
All right. Well, this is the latest Marvel film, and it focuses on one of their villains. Seen in the Spider-Man movies. I don't know which one it was in. You can tell me if you
the third
know.
One.
Number
the,
three.
The third one that the third one that that Raimi directed. The third one.
Okay, got it.
Played right. By Topher Grace.
yes,
right. That's right. Okay. Well, this one's played by Tom Hardy, so that's a step in the right direction, I guess. And he plays Eddie Brock, who is a video and TV journalist who has a knack for being a thorn in the side of every CEO out there who has something to hide. He's that kind of investigative journalist. And here he's going after Carlton Drake, played by Riz Ahmed, who is the head of a scientific lab that has acquired a blobby specimen from outer space. And Carlton Drake hopes to tame it somehow. And he's testing it on animals and eventually homeless people, you know, crossing a pretty big ethical boundary there. Jenny Slate plays a kind of whistleblower for the lab, and she informs Tom Hardy of what is taking place behind the locked doors, and sneak in one night, and long story short, he comes in contact with the ooze, and it kind of takes over his body and his psyche and turns him into Venom as we know it, a kind of alter ego that he has conversations and disagreements with in every situation, and he basically just kind of morphs, you know, or shapeshifts into this other sort of, you know, menacing dark character. I think one other reviewer compared it to, like, Steve Martin and Lily Tomlin in All of Me, which I think is the fair comparison, just conceptually. And, and Michelle Williams in this as well, and she plays his ex-fiancée. So, you know, this is, a kind of reintroduction to this character who, you know, many people I certainly forgot about him from the past Marvel films. And that's pretty much all this movie is just one big introduction to this character. A movie that doesn't really have anything to say about this character. There's nothing really beyond just, you know, how does, you know, just the origin story part. And then that's kind of like, that's it. Then credits. Now you know who this character is and where he came from, and that's that. But, you know, you can do that and still have a real and interesting film here filled with, you know, real and interesting characters. And when you got people like Tom Hardy and Michelle Williams at the center of it, you better give them there better be some meat on the bone here for them. But there's nothing here. It is kind of just one big, 97-minute void.
of just a character who, you know, just exists and for his profession, and then there's not much else to say about him. I mean, Tom Hardy is definitely worth. I mean, you know, it's always good to watch him, and there are some scenes in here where he's clearly having a lot of fun doing this role, and you know, that's not something you don't usually see Tom Hardy having fun with a role. It's usually something darker and way more serious, even in something like Mad Max. So you know, there are some moments here that are fun to watch with Hardy. But you know, Michelle Williams is wasted, and you know, of course, Jenny Slate is wasted. Everybody else here is kind of just wasted in this thing. And it's just, you know, when it was over, I just had no interest in seeing this character come back in anything. And I know he's going to. They, of course, have the little cookie at the end that, you know, alludes to the next Venom film that's coming out. But that's the only reason this thing exists, is just to get to the next film. And, you know, I prefer a movie that has, you know, a little bit more going for it than that. So, if you're just going for the action scenes are indecipherable. I couldn't tell when there's one blobby character fighting another blobby character. It is noisy, it is messy, it is incomprehensible. So it doesn't even have that going for it. So big no for Venom for me.
Okay. Guys, hang on, okay?
Mm-hmm.
All right. Eric and Colin are going to, excuse me, are going to hang on. And when we come back from the break, Eric will tell you what he thought of Venom, and I'll tell you what I thought of Venom as well. And that's coming up right here on 720 WGN. Welcome back, everybody. How you doing? Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We are live in the Allstate Skyline studio. And, yeah, it's Monday morning. That means my dad's going to call in and tell a joke because it's a jokey-jokey time. We're here till 5 a.m. Coming up, Steve Grzanich with the opening bell at 5, Steve Cochran at 6 for your morning drive, and coming up, the stories that matter with Vic Vaughn from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom on WGN Radio. All right, we are talking about the movies. It's the Monday morning movie reviews with Eric Childress and Colin Suter. And before the break, Colin told us about Venom, and he didn't like it. And here's Eric. Welcome back.
Thank you.
Colin, welcome back.
Thank you.
All right, Eric, what did you think of Venom?
I think Sony's trolling us. I say that because, you know, we talk about all these comic book movies and, you know, so many of them, and many of them which that we, you know, that we do like. But, you know, I think that, you know, we can all agree that sometimes a studio will, you know, could put out anything, slap a Marvel logo on it, and we just show up. And that's what it seems that has happened here with Venom. And you go back, you know, a little over a year ago, when this project was, the standalone spin-off project was first announced, it was right around the time that this movie Life was coming out in theaters, the Jake Gyllenhaal, Ryan Reynolds science fiction movie about this symbiote alien that they find, and you know the danger of it getting back to Earth. And there were all these rumors at the time that this was like some setup for the big Venom movie. It just happened to be announced right around that time. Both were released by Sony, and it's hard not to think of that movie a bit during this, particularly when Riz Ahmed's like, you know, his company is like called Life Industries or something. It's just like really? So now they're just kind of trolling us a little bit. But you know, they're movies, you know, they're projects over time that, you know, sometimes they're, you know, there's one character or one book or one story from many years ago, and you know, a lot of movies, you know, that are made many years down the road kind of, you know, take things from that source material and make it their own. You know, John Carter is kind of a perfect example of that. You know, and Venom, you know, which is a character I believe was origin in like the mid 80s in the comics. And you think about this movie, and it's hard to think about, not think about, you know, like The Hidden. And, you know, it just seems like this, like all of their ideas in this movie are taking from better sources, and it's kind of the chicken and the egg thing. Did it come from the Venom comics, or did it come from these movies? And they just sort of incorporated Venom into, you know, these homages or whatever they're trying to do. I mean, Venom gets into a dog at one point in this movie, just like in The Hidden. But also, there's a movie from just a couple of months ago that has an actor in it who's not that indistinguishable from Tom Hardy called Upgrade. And I just, like, you watch this movie and, you know, I mean, maybe Lee Winnell, you know, read the tea leaves and got that movie made pretty quickly. And I don't think that's a, you know, a great movie either, but it's a lot more, you know, at least it seems to be a lot more original, a lot more fun, or at least is trying to have a lot more fun than this movie. The only one that's having, trying to have fun in this movie is, Colin is right, is Tom Hardy there, because he's just, you can see on his face, he smells the ridiculousness of this movie, and he just kind of goes along with it. And, you know, but, you know, the Venom character is a villain, and he's, you know, he's been raised as a villain and brought up as a villain. And we, you know, in Spider-Man 3, he's a horrendous villain. And here, you know, they're kind of leading you towards that, you know, the way that Upgrade kind of gets you to. But, you know, and then they, well, then all of a sudden, like, for the climax, you know, no, there's a worse Venom out there. And so then Venom becomes the good guy. I'm like, wait a second. What are we watching here? So like in the next movie, you know, when they finally connect him to Spider-Man, we're going to have to root against the character that we were. I mean, what is this, wrestling? You know, so like all of that stuff was a mess. The stuff leading up to him finally being infected by the symbiote is really boring. Just deadly boring. I hate seeing Michelle Williams wasted like this. Even when she gets a moment to possibly have fun, it is such a throwaway moment thrown in there for serious comic book nerds that everyone else is just going to go like, what is this? And, you know, by the end of it, I was just like, really, they spent all this time and all this money on this thing to do a spinoff, and they couldn't even do anything interesting to do this villain justice. This is a hard pass for me, too.
Yeah, I thought this movie stunk. I thought it was terrible. And I thought Tom Hardy was ridiculous in it. I guess you're right, Eric, to a certain extent. I guess if he thought, well, if I'm going to do this, I may as well just have some fun with it. But it's a very strange performance. I kept thinking about Upgrade the entire time. I'm not kidding. Like, you know, and by the way, it takes like over an hour until Venom shows up. I mean, all that stuff goes on forever before, you know, you actually get the Venom character. Not a particularly interesting idea here, and you're right, it's completely derivative of other better movies. As you said, Colin, the action sequences are just, they're generic, and they're not well staged, and they're not well edited, and it's just bad CGI after bad CGI, and, you know, really clumsily, you know, choreographed fight scenes, and not very well edited action sequences, and the special effects are just so apparent. They're just, it's just like, okay, that's that. Well, let's add a little bit more distracting CGI with every scene. The characters, you don't care about anything that happens in this movie. Lots of really talented people completely wasted. You're right. I mean, this is, you know, he's supposed to be a villain. And that's what they want to have their cake and eat it too. But this Upgrade thing, like, you know, that you were talking about, Eric, is like, I mean, it's essentially, you know, the guy who looks exactly like Tom Hardy, not wanting to smack people around or break their necks or punch them in the mouth, and that goes on repeatedly in this movie. You know, and I was really disappointed with this one. One, Scott Rosenberg is credited as one of the screenwriters, and I would imagine he came in and maybe did a polish or something, but I think he's a terrific writer. And Ruben Fleischer directed this movie, and he did Zombieland, and he, you know, directed several episodes of the Santa Clarita Diet, which is a show that I really love. And I think this guy, you know, has a lot of talent. But this is as generic as it gets in terms of, you know, there's no directorial style at all here at all. He makes no, you know, there's, you know, that wild creative sense of humor that you see in that the Netflix show, and that you especially see in Zombieland, which has a very distinctive style to it, very funny. And, you know, the action scenes had a nice little twist to them in Zombieland. And this is just absolute by the numbers, if even that. This is a bad movie. I think a really, really bad movie. But it made $80 million over the weekend, and Eric, we'll talk about that. But I couldn't believe the numbers when I saw the box office list. I was like, what, $80 million it made?
Yeah,
and that outperformed what anybody, you know, was thinking, right?
Yeah, oh, it did. Yeah, no, it was higher than what people were expecting for it.
Wow. Yeah. Phew. Well, anyway, three no's from us for Venom. An absolute waste of time and waste of talent. So, guys, hang on, okay?
Mm-hmm.
All right,
mm-hmm.
We got one more movie to talk about, and it's Bradley Cooper's directorial debut with starring him and Lady Gaga, and it's yet another version of A Star is Born. And that's what we're going to talk about right after we take this break here on 720 WGN. Welcome back, everybody. How you doing? Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN, and we are live in the Allstate Skyline studio here until 5 o'clock. And we are reviewing the new movies, which is what we do every Monday morning. We're going to talk about movies that make you cry as well later on. And my dad's going to call in and tell a joke because it's Monday morning and it's a jokey time. 312-981-7200 is our talk and text number. Okay, let's welcome the guys back. And we got one more movie to review. Here is Eric Childress. Hey, Eric.
Hello.
And Colin Suter. Welcome back.
Thank you.
Okay, Eric, tell us about A Star is Born.
Okay, well, this is Bradley Cooper's directorial debut. The title sounds familiar. It's because it is the classic story that has been remade several times over the years, the last being the one in 1976 with Barbara Streisand and Kris Kristofferson. And in this, Cooper also stars as Jackson Maine. I guess you'd define him as a country singer, I guess, rock and roll country singer, who's also got severe alcohol issues, but still, you know, sells out concerts. And after a concert that opens the film, he has his regular driver take him to, you know, a local bar, something out of the way that he can drown himself in, and he ends up in a drag bar where he meets a young woman played by Lady Gaga, who he sees sing on stage and kind of knocks him out. And so they spend the rest of the evening together, and he later on he just wants to spend time with her. He recognizes the talent that she has, though she is still very unsure of herself. She lives with her father, played by Andrew Dice Clay, and he begins taking her on the road with him, and paying attention to what she's writing and whatnot, and as this clearly leads to not just her opening up and getting sort of her big break within the industry, but also a love affair begins between the two of them. And people who know this story very well knows that at some point the balance of fame is going to shift between the two of them. So if you're familiar with the story, you don't really need to know too much more about the plot. But what you do need to know is that this is an incredibly assured debut from Bradley Cooper behind the camera. His performance in the movie is really great as well. But this is someone who you just see is, really believes in the material and is in absolute control over a great portion of it. He's helped along with Lady Gaga, who, we've seen singers try to give performances like this over the years, we've seen Lady Gaga in like American Horror Story and a couple of Robert Rodriguez films, but she's never had an opportunity to sort of stretch herself with a role like this, and she's really quite good as well. It helps that Cooper and Gaga, who co-wrote many of the songs together, the songs in the movie are wonderful. I mean, if you're going to buy a film soundtrack, you just make it this one this week and, worry about the other one some other time, because there are songs in this movie that are absolutely beautiful. They're instantly, just a couple lines, that you're going to want to have them on your own rotation. And my when I talked about this movie from Toronto
what I said is that, you know, this is a movie divided into two halves, and I think the first half of this movie, the first hour, is really extraordinary. I think that so much of that that first hour works. The chemistry between the two of them, I didn't even mention Sam Elliott as Bradley Cooper's older brother, who has had to manage and sort of weather the storm of his alcoholism and their sort of their personal issues over the years. He's really good as well. The first half, just like so much of it works. The writing is really sharp. The interaction between them, you know, silences between them work so well. Then the second half of the movie, I thought, doesn't quite live up to that same shift. Like, I thought that there was a little bit of absence in exactly, you know, I mean, alcoholism aside, exactly why he goes from selling out concerts to all of a sudden being a backup performer on the Grammys. It just, there seems to be something missing in there. And then the cliches that we've seen over time where they try to take the hot brand new singer and throw her into sort of a pop singer type mold and choreography and ridiculous costumes and stuff like that, which is, you know, it's a bad cliche for one, and it's really kind of extra lame in this movie too, because Lady Gaga kind of elevated that type of music to a greater level, as several artists have over the years. But it does, you know, it's not bad. It's just kind of, we've been there before. So it's like the first hour of the movie, I think, is a 4-star movie. I think the second hour of the movie is a 3-star movie. There's nothing that can't, you know, there's no way I'm not going to recommend this movie very highly. I think people who go out to the theaters will be telling their friends about it. They'll be buying the soundtrack, and we're going to see a lot of Oscar nominations come out of this thing come January.
Yeah. Okay. Colin, what do you think?
Yeah, I think this movie is really terrific as well. I actually do like the second half of the movie as much as the first half. I think it all works, really. I think this is also a really smartly written script, just kind of scene for scene. I mean, yeah, it is a cliche that she becomes this kind of pop star diva, but that doesn't really become much of a point of contention for the Bradley Cooper character. I mean, it does, but the movie doesn't labor that or belabor that too much. And I kind of like that eventually we just kind of accept that that's what she is, and she kind of accepts it too. I especially love all the later Sam Elliott stuff in the film. I think just the idea of him playing the older brother in the first place, I think, is kind of a leap of faith that, you know, Cooper, made with in that casting, and the sort of, you know, the age difference is pretty significant, but the way they explain it, that actually works. And you know, a lot of famous people have these kind of weird family trees, so it definitely tracks. And Eric's right that the music is terrific, and that definitely helps. And if you really should see this in a theater, as if you can see it in Dolby Atmos, you should, because the sound of the music is just like, you feel like you're at a real concert. I love the relationship between these two. I love, Cooper's kind of gravelly voiced performance in this film. His voice is pretty unrecognizable in it, and it works for a character like this who has to sing every night. And I just think, yeah, the silences in this movie, just this lovely musical quality of, you know, the scenes where there isn't even any music. And I really do think Bradley Cooper's performance is, I mean, this is definitely, I think, his best performance, particularly towards the end of the film. There's a scene that is just absolutely devastating. It's between him and one other person, and he doesn't say much, but it is by far the the most moved I've ever been by Bradley Cooper performance. I really like this movie a lot, and I'm glad to see that it's, getting a lot of positive attention from everybody. I don't know if it'll be on my top 10 list either. I think I'm kind of with Eric. I think it might be just sort of 3.5 stars on it, but I will definitely see it again. And I'm looking forward to seeing it again. And also, Lady Gaga, I think, is terrific. So, yeah, Bradley Cooper can sing, Lady Gaga can act, so that's great. So this is a really terrific film.
Okay. Guys, hang on, okay?
Mm-hmm.
All right, Eric and Colin are going to hang on. We're going to take a break. When we come back, I'll tell you what I thought of A Star Is Born. Welcome back. How you guys doing? Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We are live in the Allstate Skyline Studio. 312-981-7200 is the phone number for talk and text. And we're in the middle of the movie reviews. It's the Monday morning movie reviews. Eric Childress, Colin Suter joined me. Before the break, Eric and Colin both gave very positive reviews to Bradley Cooper's first directorial directorial debut, A Star Is Born. Eric, welcome back.
Please.
And Colin, welcome back.
Thank you.
I think this is one of the best movies of the year, and I was not as high on it beforehand, as everybody else seemed to be. I wasn't really looking forward to it. I wasn't particularly impressed by the trailers, and I've never really been a Lady Gaga fan at all. But I think this movie's great. I think it's absolutely great. One of the best versions of this story that's been told. And I think Bradley Cooper is astonishing in it, as well as behind the camera. He directed the hell out of this movie. And I mean, this to me is like and also I didn't know he could sing. I didn't know he could write music. This guy has gone from somebody I thought was a total D-bag in the Hangover movies to, I think, one of the most important artists working in film today, which is amazing. And I think it's a stunning performance. And Lady Gaga is great in this movie. It's a terrific performance. I saw it in the Dolby Theater. And you're absolutely right, Colin. I mean, that sound is magnificent. And the music's terrific. I liked all of the songs. All the stuff that Bradley Cooper's character does, like the first song I thought was a jam with the movie that opens the movie. I was like, man, this song is a jam, and I loved all of the stuff. And, I was on board for the whole thing. The second half didn't bother me. He's selling out stadiums, but there's always this feeling that everybody knows. Which is why I bought his downfall in the second half of the movie completely, is because even at the beginning of the movie, people are unsure about, whether this guy is going to continue to have the success that he once had. And it seemed to me like even at the beginning of the movie, despite the fact that the stadiums were packed, there was this cloud over this character that meant that he was just going down the wrong way and everything was going to fall apart for him. So I felt that all the way through. I thought the supporting performances were all great. Sam Elliott is tremendous in this movie, and he's got a couple of great scenes with Cooper. Andrew Dice Clay as her father, I thought was terrific, and I loved all the limo drivers that were just hanging out in the house and trying to figure out how to watch YouTube. I don't know, that stuff cracked me up, and I liked all that. I loved the drag queen characters and her best friend who kind of just goes around with her. I think Dave Chappelle, I wanted more of Dave Chappelle. And I like the fact, for some reason, he cast a bunch of stand-ups in the movie, because Eddie Griffin shows up at one point in the film. So you got Chappelle, you got Dice, and you got Eddie Griffin in there playing serious roles and doing a great job. I think Chappelle has some really wonderful scenes in the movie. I've seen, the other versions of this, and particularly the 76 version, because it's my mom's favorite, like one of my mom's favorite movies of all time. And I had that soundtrack blasting through my house as I was growing up, and I've seen the movie multiple times. I don't think it's a great movie, but I've seen it multiple times because of my childhood having been exposed to it. And this one's very close to what they did with the Streisand version in 76. I mean, in terms of like the style of where the characters go, although Barbara Streisand doesn't really turn into a pop diva like Lady Gaga does in this. I love that I love that Alec Baldwin shows up as the host of Saturday Night Live.
Yeah.
When she gets the gig on SNL, I thought that was pretty cool. And his reaction to the kind of music that she's doing, I also think adds to the downfall. And there is a tremendously acted and intense scene between the two of them when she's in a bubble bath. And he comes in and kind of confronts her on the music that she's doing, that I found that scene devastating. And there's a lot of stuff in this movie. I cried several times during this movie, and it has everything to do with how good Gaga is and how good Bradley Cooper is, especially Bradley Cooper. He's great in this movie, and I really hope he gets an Oscar nomination because he deserves it.
He might be the front runner, Nick.
Oh, I mean, it is a tremendous performance. And, you know, adding to all of the stuff that he did, you know, in the movie, and, you know, having directed it and singing in it and doing the music for it, this is an accomplishment. This is a huge, huge accomplishment for this guy, and a major statement as a filmmaker. Listen, this is a movie that is so beautifully acted, and clearly Cooper understands how to work with actors because he is one. Because there's not like a false note between the characters in the movie, and it feels very, very, very natural. It's paced very in a humanistic way. There's a scene outside of an all night grocery store that is just beautiful, and it's slow, and you can see the relationship start to click, and Greg Grunberg shows up, and it's not even a J.J. Abrams movie. I loved everything about this movie. I from the soundtrack to the acting to the directing, I think it's absolutely one of the best movies of the year. And it hit me real hard. It did. And I if you've seen this story before, you know where it's going to go and how it's going to end. But I was I was deeply, deeply, deeply moved by this film. I think it's great, and I think it's one of the best movies of the year. So
here's my prediction.
Yeah.
On this, mark the tape on this. I think Bradley Cooper is going to join Walt Disney in getting the most nominations ever by a single person in a single Oscar year.
Okay. I wouldn't doubt that because, I mean, you know, he's also going to get nominations in the music category.
Right.
Picture,
writing, acting, directing, and I think two songs.
Yeah. That would
tie the record for Walt Disney.
That I wouldn't. You know what? I don't doubt that. And I don't doubt it. Let's see. Next week, we got Goosebumps, Haunted Halloween, which is the sequel. We got The Hate U Give, and two movies that I am unbelievably excited about, First Man and Bad Times at the El Royale. Both of those movies are, like, way high on my list of movies I can't wait to see. So, and Eric, you've seen both of them.
I think you're going to have a good weekend.
It's been too long since Drew Goddard has made a movie. It's great. Cabin in the Woods was the last one he directed, right?
Last one he directed, yeah. He wrote The Martian.
Right, right. And what a cast. Led by Jeff Bridges. Oh, please.
You're going to have a good weekend.
I can't wait, man. We're seeing it. We're going. My parents and I are going to him back-to-back on Saturday. So, very
You're going to have a good Saturday.
We are obviously seeing First Man in IMAX. There's no question about it. So, all right. Okay, Colin, we will talk to you next week.
All right, sounds good.
Okay, buddy. Hey, take care. There's Colin. Eric, hang on, okay?
Uh-huh.
We have much to discuss in terms of box office, so hold on a second. Eric Childress is with us, and we reviewed all the new movies, including one of the very best of the year, A Star is Born. We'll take a break, and we'll come back, and we're going to analyze some crazy stuff that happened at the box office over the weekend right after this on 720 WGN. Okay, hi, everybody. Welcome back. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We're live in the Allstate Skyline studio here on a Monday morning. My dad's going to call in and tell a joke because A Star is Born made me cry. a lot. We're going to talk about movies that make you cry and more. 312-981-7200 is the phone number for talk and text, and we're here till 5, and there you go. So Eric Childress is going to hang out with us here and talk about the box office. Eric, welcome back.
Thank you.
Okay, as we mentioned when we were reviewing the terrible movie Venom, that it made $80 million over the weekend. That is so much more than I even expected. I was stunned.
Yeah, I was stunned, frankly, when the first tracking numbers came out for this several weeks ago, and they said we're saving $65 million. I was like, really?
Everything I've heard since they released that trailer is that nobody is interested in seeing this movie.
Yeah, yeah.
And, you know, but then, you know, $65 million, that's pretty low for a comic book movie these days. You know, it seemed high, you know, because it looks like garbage, but it's high, is low for a comic book movie. Then it ends up doing $80 million, and the way I kind of I fashioned my box office piece that I wrote this week at Rotten Tomatoes, that I think this is a, kind of going to be a classic example of, you know, half full, half empty thinking when you look at these numbers, because I mean $80 million, that's the highest opening ever in October ever. Gravity. Gravity was the highest grosser opening weekend before, and that was only $55 million.
Wow.
Okay, so this is a $25 million increase for an October record. So, okay, so there you got that. And there have only been two films ever that have opened to $75 million or more and not gone on to make $200 million. Mm. 50 Shades of Grey and X-Men Origins Wolverine. I think this could be the third.
Oh, okay.
I have a hunch that the word of mouth is not going to be great or good at all on this movie. There's a lot of stuff coming out over the next couple of weeks, including in 2 weeks, you have Halloween, which is going to be a huge...
Yeah.
You know, it's going to take everyone away. Everyone who's not gone from this movie next week is going to be gone in that third week.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I think that, you know, I mean, so I think Sony's going to be looking at whether or not this thing is going to recoup its money. I mean, it was about a $100 million production, they're saying, somewhere between 100 and 120. So it's, you know, if it doesn't save, then let's say it, you know, it barely reaches $200 million here, in the U.S., it needs about another 250 internationally, to break even. And amongst the 20 Marvel titles since Blade, back in 1998, how did I do this? The 10 worst reviewed Marvel films, which now includes Venom, did not reach $250 million internationally. This one, Venom, did happen to make $125 this weekend, so it is halfway there. But I'm going to go out and say that I think that this is going to come up short of $200 million, which would be a real kind of slap in the face.
Yeah. Yeah, well, I mean, the word of mouth is has got to be terrible because it's a terrible movie.
Yeah, it can't be good.
No,
it can't be good.
No way. And is First Man going to be number one next week? You think?
I guess it depends on how far Venom drops. Is First Man going to, be over in like 30, 35 million possibly, or is it going to be more in like the high 20s? I think it's a bit of a mystery of what First Man is going to do next week.
Mm-hmm.
It would not surprise me if A Star Is Born is number one next weekend.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's what number two made, $41.2 million, which is a good chunk of change.
Oh yeah,
real good chunk of change. It was packed when we went on Saturday afternoon.
Mm-hmm.
It was packed, and everybody loved it. There was applause at the end of the movie. Everybody, my parents thought it was good. My mom loved it. I mean, she loves the story, and but we all three of us were just like really deeply moved by it. We loved it, and I think it's going to continue to do that. I mean, the word of mouth on this thing is through the roof. So,
oh yeah, no, this thing is going to play.
Yeah.
It's going to play all through October. It's going to be the must see. That's why I'm curious about First Man next week, because you know all the adults are still going to be seeing this movie.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, so I have a hunch that, you know, I think it'll be a very interesting three-way race for the top spot next weekend, between those 2 weeks, the two films this week and then First Man next week. I don't think El Royale is going to do great.
Yeah. No, yeah.
It's a little too esoteric for mainstream audiences, and you'll know what I mean when you see it.
Right.
But yeah, no, I think, I mean, Star Is Born, I mean, I think, you know, Star Is Born could still outgrow Venom.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised by that. Seriously, you know, I don't know anyone who didn't like it. You know,
right.
People who have seen it either love it or really, really like it and are recommending it. And it is a movie that I'd like to go back and see it again. And I mean, this is a 2-hour and 20-minute movie we're talking about. It's terrific. I mean, it's terrific, and I hope it makes a ton of money.
Mm-hmm.
All right, number three, Smallfoot. Ugh. $14.9 million, $42 million total so far for Smallfoot.
Yeah, it's headed probably somewhere around the $75 million range. It didn't have a bad drop at all this week. I mean, it only dropped one spot in the slot.
Yeah,
but you know they can't be happy with those numbers.
Right. Number four, Night School, $12.2 million, $46.7 million in 2 weeks. That's low for a Kevin Hart movie, right?
Recently, and you know, Tiffany Haddish too, although she's only got really Girl Strip under her belt.
Yeah.
It's a bit low for a Kevin Hart movie right now. It's behind the pace of Think Like a Man 2, which only finished with $65 million. So that seems somewhere between $60 and $65 million seem to be where Night School is headed right now. It had a big 55% drop this week. Probably drop even more next week.
Okay. Number five, The House with a Clock in Its Walls, $7.2 million, bringing it up to $55 million. Has that beaten Hostel?
Yes. It has officially beaten Eli Roth's Hostel. So it's the highest grossing film that he has, at least domestically, that he has made to date. It's probably going to finish, right now looking to finish somewhere between $70 and $80 million. Which is not bad, but it hasn't really picked up much overseas so far, and that's where it's gonna need to make its money back.
Okay. Number six, A Simple Favor, $3.4 million. Its total is now $49 million. That's pretty good, man.
Yeah, no, a $20 million production. Didn't have a huge opening, like $16 million, but clearly has just spawned word of mouth. And you know, it's not it might not seem like the sexiest numbers in the world, but this is going to be in the plus column for Paul Feig as opposed to Ghostbusters, which was very much in the red.
Right.
But I think Lionsgate's smart. I think that they'll mount some kind of campaign for Kendrick and Blake Lively as well.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Number seven is The Nun, $2.6 million, $113 million, as the Conjuring universe continues.
Yeah. What is that up to? I got here $346 million worldwide.
Oh my God.
For The Nun.
Oh my God. Yeah. Wow.
Yeah, and there is a Conjuring 3 on the way. James Wan apparently is stepping away from it. He's giving it to somebody else. So the Conjuring universe will live on.
Wow. All right. Well, here's a universe that won't. Number eight is Hellfest, $2 million, $8.8 million in 2 weeks for a low budget horror movie. That's terrible. Even
yes, that's bad. Yeah, I mean, the low budget was only like $5.5 million, I think, something like that. So, it hasn't even doubled its budget yet. That's just a waste.
Yeah, well, it's a terrible movie too.
Oh God.
Number nine, Crazy Rich Asians, one of the big success stories of the year. $2 million, $169 million just in America alone.
Yeah, pretty amazing story, this film. One of the highest grossing films of the year. Surprisingly, it still hasn't done huge business overseas yet. I don't know if that's if they're going to expand that any more going forward, but it's only made like 220 some million so far worldwide. So most of the money is in America.
Yeah. Wow. Okay. And then number 10 is The Predator with $900,000.
Didn't even make $1 million.
Didn't even make $1 million this week. So.
Yeah. The Predator right now is struggling to beat Predators from 2010.
That's too bad.
Which only made $52 million. This is a real loser for Fox.
That's too bad because it's good. I think it's good. Yeah. So
yeah.
All right. Well, next week, as we mentioned, it's going to be interesting to see what happens, considering how far Venom drops. How consistent A Star Is Born stays, and how big First Man opens.
Yeah, I think that the numbers, the top three films are going to be somewhere between $25 and $35 million each.
Okay. It'll be interesting to see what's going on.
All
right. Well, we will talk to you next week, Eric.
Sounds good.
All right, buddy. Thanks a lot.
You got it.
All right. There's Eric Childress, everybody. And that's a box office report and all that cool stuff. We're going to take a break right here on 720 WGN. We're going to talk about movies that make you cry. That's what's coming up right here on WGN. All right. We'll be right back. All right. Hey, welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN, and we are live in the Allstate Skyline studio here on a Monday morning, and we just finished up the Monday morning movie reviews and box office, and in those movie reviews, we reviewed the new version of A Star Is Born, of which I absolutely loved, and it made me cry. So we're going to talk about movies that make you cry, movies that made you cry. 312-981-7200. What are the good ones? Which were the ones that made you really, really cry? 312-981-7200. So we're here till 5 a.m. Steve Grzanich coming up with the opening bell. Steve Cochran at 6 for your morning drive. And coming up, the stories that matter with Vic Vaughn from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom on WGN Radio. All right. For those people who might not have been listening, now we it's officially Halloween time, Dan, as you know.
Indeed.
Wrong switch, Igor.
There's Fartenstein, our good friend. And?
Look into my eyes. Gotcha.
There you go. You can't have Halloween time without Fartula and Count Fartenstein.
Nope.
Or Count Fartula and Fartenstein. For Fartenstein became a count, I guess. Yeah, these things have been around for a long time here, right?
Trick or treat.
Go to Fartula. Let's see what the next one is.
All right, let's see what the next one is here.
Open the coffin. Let me out.
Oh, I was hoping it was going to be the that one will live forever too.
Oh, that'll be he'll get to that one. That's my favorite though. Is open the coffin.
But after you saying like these guys have been around a long time,
oh,
I was hoping
yeah.
that, you know, would have been the punchline.
Hold on.
Sink your teeth into that.
He's teasing us now. And of course, we can't talk about Fartenstein without thanking Adam Phillips, because he what you do is these are plush dolls and you squeeze the finger and then they make their little fart noises and stuff, but the finger didn't work, so it was completely rewired, and he added a button. Adam added a button and he completely rewired it, and he truly is he is a Frankenstein. He is Dr. Frankenstein, Fartenstein.
That one rattled my bolts.
Okay. Anyway, they're here. Oh, man, I'm 9 years old. 312-981-7200 is the phone number if you want to jump in with movies that make you cry. And by the way, I want to talk about my next film club screening. It's not a movie that makes you cry, although it is bittersweet because we're doing our tribute to Burt Reynolds. My next film club screening will be on November 13th, Tuesday, November 13th, and we are showing one of the best Burt Reynolds movies of all time, a true classic, The Longest Yard from 1974. One of the best Burt Reynolds movies of all time, massively entertaining movie filled with incredible character actors and so many memorable lines and funny moments. It's a very funny movie. It's also a very... It's also a very heavy movie at times, and a great piece of genre, and also a great sports movie. So it's all that and more with Burt Reynolds. Get to see it on the big screen. We have a fantastic restored 4K version that we're going to see. This movie very, very rarely gets shown. You barely see it on cable. It's very rarely shown on cable, and it really never gets shown in movie theaters. So to see it on the big screen is going to be, you know, fantastic, especially in the big, beautiful premiere theater at the Rosemont 18, the AMC Rosemont 18, formerly MovieCo. It's only $10 to get in. Parking is free. Get there a little bit early, have some food. There's a full bar. The movie will begin at 8. I will introduce it, and then we will talk about it afterwards, and I'll talk about some behind-the-scenes stuff, and we'll talk about the movie, how much we like it. And it's our big tribute to Burt Reynolds. This is one of my favorite Burt Reynolds movies of all time, a true classic. It's the original Longest Yard. So $10, parking is free, easy to get to. If you don't want to drive, just take the blue line, get off at the Rosemont stop. It's a 5-minute walk, it's going to be great, especially to see on the big screen remastered like that. So that's The Longest Yard on Tuesday, November 13th. Our tribute to Burt Reynolds, a classic, classic movie that very rarely gets seen. So come on out to that one. Get your tickets now at amctheaters.com. That's amctheaters.com. You go to the website. You get the seating chart. Pick out the seats that you want. They will be reserved and waiting for you when you show up on Tuesday, November 13th, for The Longest Yard. Dan, have you ever seen The Longest Yard?
I have not.
It's so... You didn't see the remake either, right?
I did see the remake.
Oh, you did? Oh, yeah. You saw the remake, but you didn't see the original.
Well, you know, kind of to your point, the first one's not on a lot, but... You know,
oh, it's not.
The second one is on Comedy Central every couple months.
Yeah. The original is just... it's classic. So, anyway, I hope everybody can make it out. Let's pack the place. Tuesday, November 13th. It starts at 8. And there you go. $10, parking free. Going to be great. AMCtheaters.com. Reserve your seats now. All right, we're talking about movies that make you cry because this movie, A Star Is Born, just opened this weekend. The Bradley Cooper version, the fourth version of the story that's been told film-wise. It's Bradley Cooper and Lady Gaga, and they're both really great in it, and it was a movie that, and it made me cry. And so in honor of that, we're going to be talking about movies that make you cry, and I've got some lists here of some of the classic ones that are guaranteed to make you cry. 312-981-7200. So let's see. Here's Francis on WGN. Hi, Francis.
Hey, how are you guys?
All right. What's up?
Talking about movies that make you cry.
Yeah.
My favorite movie of all times that makes me cry is called All Mine to Give.
And who's? And tell everybody about it.
It's about a family. She has like 8 kids, right? And she passes away, but she makes the oldest son promise that he will find a home for each one of his brothers and sisters. And he does, you know. And at the end, of course, he finds a home, but it's just so hard, you know, wrenching. It makes it. I'm a crybaby anyway, so. My brothers and sisters used to always say, get the buckets, because every time we watched a movie that had any sad music playing, I was going to cry.
Right. Yeah, All Mine to Give is from 1957.
Okay, and, I was a little kid when we watched it on TV in black and white.
Yeah, it's
I love all black and white. Black and white is awesome.
Okay. All right, Francis, thanks for the call.
Okay,
Take care. Bye. All Mine to Give. I don't think I've seen this. Maybe I did when I was younger and I don't remember. Cameron Mitchell's in it. Glynis Johns. 1957. Patty McCormick was in it. So, yeah. Directed by Alan Rayner. All Mine to Give. He did a lot of TV work. This director did a lot of TV work. Did some Twilight Zones. Mannix. Oh, Mannix.
George will be happy.
George Carson will be very happy that we mentioned Mannix again. Yeah. So, you know, I got to say, I was really surprised by A Star Is Born. I mean, really, really surprised. Because I didn't, you know, everybody was talking about how much they loved it. It was getting nothing but rave reviews from people. And it's not that I distrust those reviews. I just the commercials and the trailers really didn't do anything for me. I didn't necessarily think that we needed another version of A Star Is Born, and I've never been a Lady Gaga fan at all. And so all of those things kind of, and it was, you know, Bradley Cooper is his first movie as a director, and I was like, ugh, okay, I hope he does okay. So, you know, but then I see the movie and it's, as we talked about, it's absolutely brilliant. One of the best directorial debuts I've seen ever. And he's so good in it. And the music's all good. And she's great. I just was really blown away by it. And it made me weep. So, and I didn't expect that. I really didn't, you know. If you'd have told me 2 months ago that all you were going to think A Star Is Born is one of the best movies of the year and it's going to make you cry, I'd be like, nah, I'm doubting that. But it really is one of the best movies of the year. All right, let's see. We got more movies that make you cry. 312-981-7200. Here's Jeff on WGN. Hi, Jeff.
Hey, how you doing?
All right, what's up?
I got a great movie for you. It's if you're an animal lover. Turner and Hooch.
Turner and Hooch, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, we'll boil Tom Hanks.
His buddy dies at the end.
Yep. Yeah, that's it. You know, there's that. That's a whole subcategory. Is like animal movies. You know, where they like, you know, where they kill off dogs and stuff. Yeah, that's a whole like that. You could talk about that for 5 hours. So, all right.
Yeah, I know.
Jeff,
thank you.
Take care. Yeah. Well, always, Dan. It reminds me of when the movie came out.
It's a great story.
Roy Leonard was on vacation. And Roy Leonard and I reviewed movies together every Saturday morning, and he was off because he was on vacation, and Kathy O'Malley was sitting in. And so I was in the studio with Kathy O'Malley, and we reviewed Turner and Hooch. And keep in mind, this is the day after the movie opened. It opened that Friday. We reviewed it on the Saturday morning. So it was the day after the movie opened, and we're reviewing the movie, and Kathy says, you know, I really wish they wouldn't have killed the dog off at the end. And I went, no! And Kathy said that on the air. on the air, and then like the phone lines lit up, everybody went nuts, everybody was like, and I was like, yeah, you can't just say I wish they didn't kill off the dog at the end less than 24 hours after the movie's been released. People were planning on having a nice Saturday night to go see Turner and Hooch, and you let everybody know that the dog gets killed, the dog dies at the end. I remember Dan, on our trip to Ireland, one of the movies that they showed was Marley and Me. And it was a plane full of people. They blindsided them. You know what I mean? Like, it was a plane full of people who were just weeping. This was on the way to Ireland. So that was one of the movies. And I had seen it, you know? And now I was like, this is going to be a very, very upset plane in a little while. So it's not a great movie to show on a plane. People were just sobbing. Okay, let's take a break. News is coming up next. All right. Hey, welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We are live in the Allstate Skyline studio here on a Monday morning. That means my dad's going to call in and tell a joke because it's a jokey time. And we're here till 5. Steve Grzanich will have the opening bell at 5. My main man, Steve Cochran, at 6 for your morning drive on this Monday morning, beginning of your work week. And yeah, so our phone number is 312-981-7200 for talk and text. Call us, text us. We're talking about movies that make you cry. Which movies make you cry? This new version of A Star Is Born with Bradley Cooper and Lady Gaga just released over the weekend, made me cry. So I sat there in the theater Saturday crying. And I thought it was a really, really terrific movie and a really beautiful film. And that just got me to thinking about movies that make you cry. And we want to jump in here. Big tear jerkers. 312-981-7200. And at the end, as you know, as I've gotten older, I cry at like everything.
Right.
It's, as you know, I wasn't like that when I was in my 20s. And then I just started to get, and now, you know, I'm crying at TV commercials.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's just ridiculous. But yeah, so Star Is Born is the latest movie that that made me cry. Do you have any movies that, you know, kind of do that to you?
It's funny that you mentioned this topic because it happened to me yesterday.
Really?
Not a movie that I saw that made me cry, but we were watching one of Emily's favorite cartoons, and it involved two puppies in a wagon. And at one point, they jump out of the wagon to make it go faster so the chameleon that's also riding in the wagon can meet up with his owner who, you know, the chameleon's missing. And it flashed me back to Inside Out and the imaginary character and the wagon and the subconscious. And I was just like, oh, I almost started calling. I almost started crying right there. And, yeah, because, like, I mean, that is probably the most, you know, you cry, but like that was, I remember vividly, one of the last movies to make me cry so hard, yeah, especially at that particular scene.
Yeah. And also, you know, you have daughters.
Yes.
Yeah. So, well, I mean, you listen, it's, I think it's a prerequisite for,
right,
for Pixar to go, all right, we have to make people cry. I mean, Inside Out was, I mean, it destroyed me. Sure. I mean, I cried throughout most of that movie. I thought it was absolutely beautiful. And we've talked about this before. WALL-E made me cry.
Mm-hmm.
Toy Story 3 made me cry. Up, the first 10 minutes of that movie.
Right.
Ridiculous. Coco was another one. But yeah, I mean, the Pixar movies, those are good, yep, ones, man. Those are good ones to make you cry. They're guaranteed to get near the crying part. Yeah, but there are so many of them, and you know, it was funny because we were talking about in the car on the way to the movie, my folks and I were on our way to see A Star Is Born, and we were talking about Love Story, when that came out. And I remember my parents went to go see it, and I guess my mom cried like her eyes out, and that was a big one. The movie came out in 1970. It was Ryan O'Neal and Ally McGraw. And that was a real tearjerker. I mean, people were, you know, a lot of people cried during Love Story. So that was a real big one. 312-981-7200 is the phone number. Here's Jim on WGN. Hi, Jim.
Oh, hello.
Hi.
Yeah. So anyway, there was two movies that I was really thinking about. One, the first one really made me cry was Of Mice and Men.
Mm.
Yeah. Yeah. That, and well, the thing is, that is really hard to say. Who's the more tragic character in that one? George, right. Lenny, and Plot's well known, so I'll just leave that one hang.
Yeah.
The other movie I was thinking of was the Kenneth Branagh version of Hamlet. Casting that in the wrong century was just a travesty. That made me cry and scream.
All right. Well, that's not liking the movie, though. It's like the movie made you cry because you didn't like it. which is, you know, I can understand that. I can totally understand that. But yeah, yeah. And then that was like the full text. So you had to you were angry and crying for about 4 hours, if I remember correctly. So Jim, thanks for the call. 312-981-7200 is the phone number. And in honor of A Star Is Born, the latest version, we're talking about movies that make you cry. Here is Janice on WGN. Hi, Janice.
Hi. Madam X and Imitation of Life.
Imitation of Life, man.
And Madam X, that was fantastic.
Yeah, Madam X is great. I mean, Imitation of Life is one of my favorite movies. I mean, that movie is unbelievable. I mean, Douglas Sirk directed that movie, and Douglas Sirk made a lot of movies that were very, very, very emotional. And he was sort of like the king of the Technicolor 50s tear-jerking drama. And there aren't many as good as Imitation of Life. It's a fantastic movie. Madam X is a great one too. So yeah, absolutely. Janice, thanks for the call.
Thank you.
Okay, take care. 312-981-7200 is the phone number. We got a bunch of texts coming in. And let's see. Here is John on WGN. Hi, John.
Yeah.
Hi,
Nick. I was going to mention two movies. One was Thomasina, which was a Disney movie.
Mm-hmm.
That's about a cat that who belongs to a little girl, and her father's a veterinarian, and the father thinks the father's played by Patrick McGowan, and he thinks the cat has tetanus, so he gives the cat to his assistant, who's played by Wilford Brimley, who was Paul's grandfather in Hard Day's Night, but that he had a minor acting role in Thomasina, and the little kids take the cat to a witch, who's played by, I can't remember, a female actress, and she nurses the cat back to health, and she almost adopts it, but Patrick McGowan's daughter is desolate about it, and she's, like, dying, and so the witch brings the cat over to the house again after it's cured, and it cures the little girl. But the other movie I was going to mention was Love Story, and I didn't want to go see it originally. They had that marketing campaign about Love Me, Reason Never Having to Say You're Sorry, and
right.
They had a picture of Ryan O'Neal and Holly McGraw in black and white in the newspapers. And I just detested the promo campaign for it. But my girlfriend begged me to see it when we were going steady when I was 15. And she started crying when Holly McGraw became ill.
Yeah. Well, yeah, no, everybody, I mean, that was one of the biggest tearjerker movies of all time. And it was a huge...
Oh, it was amazing. Yeah, I mean, I don't think the plot was that sensational, but it really was a tearjerker. I guess everybody really thought Ryan O'Neal and Holly McGraw were going together.
Yeah.
They were actually married in it. But when a movie comes on now, I still like to watch it, and it kind of makes me cry now.
Yeah. All right, John, thanks, man.
Okay.
Take care. 312-981-7200 is the phone number if you want to join us in honor of A Star Is Born, the new version of A Star Is Born, which is terrific, by the way. If anybody saw A Star Is Born over the weekend, you can call in and let us know what you thought of it, because it got three strong reviews from us here on the show, and I think it's one of the best movies of the year. 630 area code says, Up always makes me cry. My kiddos don't understand now, but they will someday. Yeah, the first 10 minutes of Up is ridiculous. Ridiculous. 815 area code says, Love Story is the first movie I can remember that made me cry. 618 area code, Australia. Oh, really? The Baz Luhrmann movie? It was filmed in the Australian outback years ago. Aboriginal people were discriminated against like blacks were in America. It features a little boy growing up at that time and era. Mark the Bread Man, a movie that makes me cry to this day, and I happily give up my man card, is E.T. Yeah, a lot of people cry during E.T. Jesse says, at 40 years old, I changed. We adopted a dog, and soon after, I became more emotional. I would get emotional about our son not being a little boy anymore. Movies, animated shows, or stuff make it difficult not to tear up during a sad scene, and there's no way that I'm watching This Is Us. Well, yeah. That's the thing now, man. That's the you want to talk about everybody crying. That's the show. This Is Us. That's the go-to if you want to cry. Alan in North Carolina says, the line to George Bailey, the richest man I know, gets me every single time, no matter how many times I've seen It's a Wonderful Life. Yes, the ending of It's a Wonderful Life makes me cry as well. 331 area code says, Mr. Holland's Opus. I've only seen it the one time, and I remember not crying. 815 says, a movie that's okay for guys to cry is Field of Dreams. Yeah, I get it every single time. Every single time. I sob. When I watched Field of Dreams, the ending of that movie is ridiculous. It's crazy. 231 area code says Bambi and Charlotte's Web. 847 area code says Elephant Man. I cry every time. 815 says The Iron Giant. That's a great movie. That is a great movie. I'm glad that movie has got, you know, because it tanked when it came out. The Iron Giant. I mean, it was a flop. It was a complete flop. But I'm so glad that it's got, you know, the recognition that it has now. Like, people love that movie now, and they should have loved it when it came out. But nobody did. I mean, it tanked, but over the years, it's become a classic. Iron Giant has become a classic. It's a great movie. It's a great movie. Let's see. Here is Chuck on WGN. Hi, Chuck.
Hey, I'd like to suggest Running on Empty, Judd Hirsch, River Phoenix,
right.
Martha Plimpton.
Yep.
When they play Fire and Rain in that movie,
mm-hmm.
if you don't cry, you ain't got no feelings.
Okay.
Yeah, thank you.
Okay, take care. It's Running on Empty. Judd Hirsch, Christine Lottie, River Phoenix, Martha Plimpton. I did not cry during that movie, so I have no feelings, evidently. I like the movie. Let me just say that. I think it's a good movie. It just didn't make me cry. All right, 312-981-7200 is the phone number if you want to join us here. Star is Born, the new Bradley Cooper version with Lady Gaga, is fantastic, and it did make me cry, so that's why we're talking about this. So we would love to hear from you. Talk or text 312-981-7200. All right, welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. How's it going? It's Monday morning. That means my dad's going to call in and tell a joke. It's a jokey time. Hawks played a crazy game last night with their home opener, and it was insane. It was a crazy, crazy game, and we'll play back the Express. They ended up losing. They lost 7-6 in OT. Wow, what a game. You'll hear all the highlights when we play back the Express. That's coming up later. Right now, we're talking about movies that make you cry. What movies make you cry? 312-981-7200. We've covered the Pixar world, because that seems to be, like I said, that seems to be mandatory that Pixar has to make movies that make you cry, because they made a ton of them. 312-981-7200 is the phone number. We want to hear from you. And let's see. Let's go to Michelle on WGN. Hi, Michelle.
Hey, good morning, Nick. How are you?
All right.
Well, I'll tell you, it's so true. The older you get, you cry at everything. I cry at those darn Shriners commercials, the Shriners Hospital.
Yeah.
Aretha's funeral almost killed me. Man, but as far as movies, several came to mind quickly. The first one was Brian's Song.
Yeah.
Yeah. Man, as soon as Pig starts coughing, that's it. I'm like gone.
Yeah, that's one of those ones. I was talking with Carl Amari a little bit earlier when we were doing Crosstalk right before my show started, and I mm-hmm. mentioned that we were gonna, you know, this was the topic we were gonna talk about. The first thing that he said was Brian's Song.
Yeah, that's a big one. And another one that came to mind was Spike Lee's Do the Right Thing. As things deteriorate, I'm like sobbing for the breakup of race relations. It was just, that one really got me.
Yeah, I really did
toward the end.
I've not cried. I've seen Do the Right Thing a million times. I've never cried, but it does,
really?
I mean, it affects me though, like deeply, but I've never really cried at Do the Right Thing, but it's one of my favorite movies of all time.
Yeah, it's incredible. The last one I thought was the great Johnny Orifice.
Oh, yeah, Johnny Orifice. Okay.
I'm still laughing at that. He gave me the best laugh in weeks.
All right, I appreciate that, Michelle.
That was a classic. See you later.
Right, see you later, bye. She's been listening for a long time, Michelle. You know, Dan, I mean, I recognize her voice. I know she's been listening for a long, long time. God bless her. Johnny Orifice. For people who don't know what we're talking about, we were talking about board games and Operation. The game Operation came up, and the dude that you're doing the operating on, you're trying to take out his funny bone and all that other stuff, I couldn't think of his name because he had a name, and it's Cavity...
Cavity Sam.
Cavity Sam is his name. And I was like, what is his name? Johnny Orifice? And so that cracked up Michelle. So, and then we said, what, we were going to make an offshoot of it, like a ripoff?
Yes, yes, Johnny Orifice.
Johnny Orifice, and it would be called Procedure, not right, Operation. Right.
real quick, by the way, just by far clubhouse leader is Brian Song. At least 10 texts and
really?
Multiple calls.
Brian's song is the one that comes up really, you know, that one. Anytime you talk about things that make you cry, Brian's song is right near the top. So that one, people are still texting and calling in about Brian's song. All right. Here's Janet on WGN. Hi, Janet.
Hi. I have a newer movie and then a couple of older ones. Alpha.
Alpha, the one about the wolf that just came out?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And Miracle on Ice. I know you like that one.
Uh-huh. Okay.
And Ghost, of course.
Ghost, yes. Yes, yes, yes. And has anybody cried on screen prettier than Demi Moore did in that movie? Like, it was like the perfect teardrops were coming down. I mean, it was just gorgeous crying is what that is. So.
Yeah.
All right.
And then I have another one, which I know you're what your reaction is going to be, because I know you hate it, Ice Castles.
Ice Castles. I hope Mary's listening, because that's, of course, the classic Robbie Benson movie, Ice Castles.
And I also have to tell you, I guess it didn't do anything at the box office, but the new one with Robert Redford and Sissy Spacek, very good.
Yeah, the old man and the gun. It's only in a few theaters. It's not in as many theaters as other movies. It's going to open up more. It's going to open up wide more as the weeks go by.
Okay.
So it's only in a few theaters
very good,
right now.
Though.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you, Janet.
Okay.
See ya. Yeah. Ghost. Nobody cries that pretty. You know. Usually people get real ugly when they're crying. Not Demi Moore. It's the exact opposite. I like that movie, though. Yeah, I like that movie. Hey, Dan, you know that Jerry Zucker directed that movie, directed Ghost.
Really?
Yeah, so he's one of the Zucker brothers.
Yeah.
You know, who did the Airplane movies and all that stuff, or Airplane and then the Naked Gun movies. And I remember when Naked Gun, the second Naked Gun came out, that's directed by David Zucker. The second Naked Gun is directed by David Zucker. And so when the second Naked Gun came out, the ad campaign on the poster, the tagline on the poster says, from the brother of the director of Ghost.
That's fantastic.
Yeah, it's the best. here's Lisa on WGN. Hi, Lisa.
Hi, good morning, Nick.
Morning.
I love the older movies.
Yeah.
And my favorite love story is Random Harvest.
Oh, that's a great movie.
Have you seen it?
Oh, yeah. That's a great, movie.
At the very end, I don't know how anybody could not cry at the very end of that movie.
That's a great film.
I wanted to mention one more, if you don't mind.
No, no.
And that's Sling Blade.
Sling Blade makes you cry. I can see that.
Yes. Oh, my gosh.
I can see that. That's a terrific movie, too. That's a really good movie.
So. The performances in that one were so great.
I haven't watched it in a long time. It's been a really long time since I've watched it. Maybe I would have a different reaction to it now that because John Ritter passed away. And,
right.
You know what I mean?
He was so good in it.
He was so great in that movie.
Oh, my God.
So great.
And that's part of the sadness was the way he was treated, and I don't know. It was just pretty emotional for me.
Yeah, I can understand that. I can totally understand. Yeah. It's a terrific movie. But people have not seen Random Harvest. They should. It's a great film. Great.
I remember once watching some show, and they were interviewing Mel Brooks, and they asked him what his favorite love story was, and he mentioned Random Harvest.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. Good. Yeah. Mel Brooks. Okay. Hey.
I know.
All right, Lisa, thank you.
Thanks a lot.
All right. Take care. 312-981-7200 is the phone number. We're getting a lot of texts and a lot of calls. People, you guys cry. Well, if you're going to cry, go see A Star Is Born. I guarantee you, you'll cry. Or you'll be close to crying, but I did. All right, the news is going to come up right after this. All right. Yeah, man. Welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN, and we are live in the Allstate Skyline Studio, 18 stories above beautiful downtown Chicago on this Monday morning. And it's Monday. That means my dad's going to call in and tell a joke because it's a jokey, jokey, jokey time. We'll have a Blackhawks Express from an absolutely crazy game from last night. I'll tell you what, it was a hell of a home opener. And by the way, there's a bunch of pictures on WGNRadio.com from last night's home opener. Steve Cochran, Rokan, Kevin Powell, Todd Manley, and a whole bunch of other people were there. They broadcast live from there, and everybody went to the game and saw an insane game. I will say this. I don't know. You think? I wonder if Cochran, because Cochran, you know, got to get up at.
Yeah,
I wonder if he left and missed the insanity.
It'll be interesting to find out later this morning. You know.
Yeah, because I mean, it really, the third period was nuts. The last like 4 minutes of the game, leading into the overtime. Absolutely insane, and I think Cochran probably left because you know he's got to go.
You'd imagine, yeah.
I mean, oh man,
like the start of that game was past his bedtime.
Yeah, 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 yeah. But they did a beautiful ceremony and tribute to Stan Mikita last night. It was just fantastic. I know it's available online, and you should really check it out. It was beautiful. His family was there. The rest of the ambassadors were down on the ice, and it was beautiful. Stan. And they have the players, Dan, are wearing the black 21 patch.
Oh, nice.
Throughout the entire season. And they have 21 now in the ice on either side of the, on either side. Which was a really great tribute to one of the greatest Blackhawks of all time, one of the greatest hockey players of all time. So, anyway, that was great stuff. So, anyway, we've got the Express. You'll hear how insane when towards the end of the Express, when you just listen to Weidman and Murray go nuts, because it's just... Like, they just start giggling at one point. Dan, they're just like, I don't know what's going on.
That is fantastic.
So we'll get to that a little bit later on. Right now, though, we're talking about movies that make you cry, because I saw a movie over the weekend that made me cry, and that's Bradley Cooper's latest version of A Star Is Born with him and Lady Gaga, which is a really, really great movie, and a big surprise for me. I did not expect to like it as much as I did. I think it's one of the best movies of the year. And I cried through a lot of it. So, and by the way, if any of you guys saw it over the weekend, give us a call at 312-981-7200. But that got us onto the idea of movies that make you cry. So here's Linda on WGN. Hi, Linda.
Good morning.
Morning.
Several of them that have been mentioned are some of my favorites. But the one that really gets me every time is John Wayne's Green Beret. And towards the end, when the little guy is looking for... Tim Hutton, and he's looking and he's crying, and he says it's Peterson, and he was killed. John Wayne goes up to him, and then he goes, and asks about him, and he says, you always knew it was going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
And he puts the Green Beret on him, and he takes his little hand, and he says, come on, he says, with me. And he says, but what's going to happen with me? He says, don't worry about it. He says, I'll take care of you. He says, because this is what this war is all about. And they're walking towards the ocean, looking at the sunset. And that little guy running and looking at all the helicopters for his Peterson, it just gets you. Mm. I don't know how many times I've seen the movie. I know what's going to happen. But several people that are there, that's when I even see them starting to tear up.
Yeah. Yeah. Green Berets. Okay.
Yeah. Take care.
Okay, Linda. Take care. 312-981-7200. Here's Thomas on WGN. Hi, Thomas.
Hey, Nick. How are you?
All right.
I have four of them.
Okay.
Go real quick.
All right.
Number one is Lucas.
Ah, yes. Shot right here in Chicago, in and around Chicago.
Yeah, that scene at the locker at the end where he gets his jacket rips me up for it. Number two, I know it's going to sound shocking, Seven.
Yeah, now what? What is it? Are you depressed? Are you crying because you're depressed?
No. It's the one scene in that film that tears me up. It's the scene where Morgan Freeman and I think Gwyneth Paltrow, they're either in his their apartment or in
No, they're at the diner. They're at the diner. I know exactly what you're going to say. Yeah. No. And he says you hug that baby as long as you can, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Tears me up.
Yeah, no, I can understand that.
It reverberates back because of the ending. Once you see the ending, it's just like, wow.
You know, the other thing about that movie is you know, Morgan Freeman's character, I got to say, Morgan Freeman's character in that movie is pretty heartbreaking, I think. I love the scene in the library where he's in and there's the night watchman, the library guys, they put the classic music on. And he's walking through the library. There's a real profound sadness about that. And about his character, like he's witnessed all of this horrible stuff while he's on this job. Yeah, no, that's a great movie. That is a great movie.
Yep.
Okay.
Number three is The Black Stallion. These last two films are films I used to watch with my dad, so then he passed. So
yeah.
Black
Stallion is a great film, too. That is a really great movie. Yeah.
Just an absolute. And Shane.
And Shane, of course. Classic.
Yeah,
classic.
Yep.
All right, Thomas.
Of others I thought of, but yeah.
No, I appreciate it, Thomas. Thanks for the call, buddy.
All right,
take care. That's funny. The Black Stallion. It's how often does the Black Stallion? It came up like three times this weekend.
Yeah, that's pretty crazy.
All right, it's a great. Have you seen the Black Stallion?
I have not.
Oh, it's so good. It is so good. All right, 900 texts have come in because people like to cry. 630 area code, another Brian song. I was 16 when I saw it, and my father had just died at age 49, and I just sobbed. That's another thing, though. Like, if there's something happening in your life personally, it's going to have, you know, it's going to affect you in an entirely different way.
Sure.
Which is one of the reasons why, you know, Colossal was my favorite movie last year, because I was personally really deeply, profoundly affected by it. By a lot of people, some people wouldn't. But it really got me. I mean, it really, really got me. Peter in Decatur said, come back, Little Sheba, On Golden Pond, and The Promise. 262 area code says, The Five Heartbeats. Five Heartbeats, I don't remember crying during that. I like that movie. Coolie High, yes, the ending of Coolie High. Oh, please. And The Way We Were. Another Barbara. Barbara likes to make people cry. 773 area code, Philadelphia, with Tom Hanks, Denzel Washington. That's a great one. 312 area code, It's a Beautiful Life. 815 area code, The Brave Little Toaster. 847 area code, My Girl. I remember seeing My Girl, and the girl I was dating at the time, Leslie Presley, was the girl I was dating at the time, and she lost it when Macaulay Culkin got stung by the bees and stuff, and Anna Chomsky had to, like, she was crying and everything. My Leslie Presley lost it. I did not, because I did not like My Girl. But 224 area code said The Natural. Really? Okay. 708 area code, Sophie's Choice. Oh, good Lord. That movie. Michael in Iowa says, I cry at a lot of movies, but in particular, Terms of Endearment and The Color Purple. I wasn't expecting them to be so touching at the end, so I just lost it at both of them. Color Purple, I got a little sniffly. I will say I did. Terms of Endearment destroys me. That movie, oh, man. That's a movie where you sob. Terms of Endearment is that scene where Deborah Winger is in the hospital bed and saying goodbye to her kids. Come on, man. What are we talking about here? Come on. Every time I watch that movie, it destroys. There's also an incredible moment in that movie where Jeff Daniels, who is pretty much he's pretty much a jerk the entire movie. Like, he, you know, cheats on Deborah Winger, not the best father in the world. And then it's after Deborah Winger's funeral, they're all in the backyard. In Aurora's house in the backyard, and they're all there, and her best friend, Deborah Winger's character's best friend, is sitting on a bench, and Jeff Daniels is sitting next to her. And they're just kind of sitting there, and they kind of like look at each other. And then Jeff Daniels just puts his head on her shoulder, like drops his head on her shoulder, like he can't deal with it anymore. And it's a wordless scene. You know, like there's no dialogue in that scene. It's just this moment that Jeff Daniels just kind of collapses his head onto her shoulder. It's a lovely moment, and it gets me every time. You know what other movie, Dan, makes me cry?
What's that?
Home for the Holidays. The Holly Hunter movie, directed by Jodie Foster. And it's another wordless moment that really, I mean, the movie, there are several times in the movie where I get a little misty, but the one part that just destroys me is after they've had this big, ridiculous confrontation at the dinner table, at the Thanksgiving dinner table, with her sister, and it turns into a nightmare. She and Robert Downey Jr., who plays her brother in the movie, they kind of go off into the kitchen with their plates of food, and just to get away from everything, so they just go off into the kitchen, and they sit down, and they put their food down, and Holly Hunter reaches over and opens up the drawer to get some forks for them, to get some silverware for them. She reaches over, tokes the door, and they've just gone through this really heavily emotional thing. And they're just kind of sitting there, and all of a sudden, she puts the fork down, they take like a bite of food, and then they just collapse into each other's arms. They don't say anything. And then it fades to black. The scene fades to black. Kills me every time. Every time. And that's a great movie. I know it was not a big hit at the box office. I watched that movie every time around Thanksgiving. I screened it at my film club one time, right in November, and I adore that movie. I really do. 630 area code, Simon Birch. Oh, boy. I left the theater wearing sunglasses at night. I bawled through the whole movie, and I was exhausted. Oh, boy. Here's my issue. I hate that movie. I hate it. Dan, have you ever seen Simon Birch?
I have not.
You know what it's based on?
I do, and I know basically the plot.
It's based on my favorite John Irving book, and John Irving has written a lot of my favorite books. I love John Irving, and it's A Prayer for Owen Meany. Prayer for Owen Meany is really, really one of my favorite books of all time. And I hated what they did with the movie. I hated it. All right. Everybody hang on. 312-981-7200. Yeah, I cried because I was angry. That's why I cried. The same reason why the listener cried during Hamlet. That's exactly right. All right. Let's take a break here. We got some weather to give you. Yeah. Welcome back, everybody. How you doing? Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We're live in the Allstate Skyline Studio. Steve Grzanich coming up at 5 with the opening bell, and coming up at 6, the great Steve Cochran with your morning drive. Also, coming up, the stories that matter with Vic Vaughn from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom on WGN Radio. All right, we're talking about movies that make you cry. The current version of A Star Is Born, which just came out this weekend, directed by and starring Bradley Cooper and with Lady Gaga, is really great. Really great. And I really loved it a lot more than I thought I would, and it made me cry. So that's why we're talking about movies that make you cry. I got a ton of texts coming in and phone calls. Everybody hang on. People apparently like to cry, Dan.
Good release.
Good, it is. 312-981-7200. Let's see. 773 area code, The Gift of Love with Lauren Bacall, and Funny Girl with Barbara Streisand. But Barbara Streisand, is she like the leader?
I would, if we're casting a movie, it would have to be Tom Hanks in the lead and Barbara Streisand is the female lead.
Yeah. 717, Pay It Forward. Oh, ugh. Not a fan of that movie. John says, Saving Private Ryan, and in particular the scene at the beginning when the cars drive up to tell the mom and she collapses on the porch. 630 area code says, I had never seen my dad cry until he took us to see E.T. Wow. 847 area code says, Bruce Willis, Liv Tyler scene in Armageddon before he blows up the asteroid. That gets me. Crying at a Michael Bay movie? Lydia says, Dr. Zhivago. Oh, that's a good one. That is a good one. Let's see. The 419 area code suggests Song of Bernadette. And 309 area code, Hachi, A Dog's Tale. Oh, that movie.
Second one in terms of the clubhouse lead.
Is that right?
Yep.
And that movie came out of nowhere, too. You know, because it really, nobody knew what he was like. Oh, it's Richard Gere and a dog. No, that's a, That'll sneak up on you. That one will sneak up on you. I didn't expect it. I was like, watching that thing. 847 area code La Bamba and My Dog Skip. All these dog movies, man. You kill a dog, people are going to cry. That's what's going to happen. La Bamba.
So we got to find a way for Tom Hanks and Bette Midler to have a dog.
No, not Bette Midler.
Oh, I'm sorry. Barbra Streisand. Yeah. And somehow involve football.
Although I will say this, Bette Midler is way up there too.
That's true. She's best. She's
in Beaches, for God's sake, which is one of the.
She's Barbra Streisand's best friend.
630 area code. Ordinary People. Mary Tyler Moore's character is so cold. That movie is another. That's another one. Forget it. That one kills me. Ordinary People. I love that movie. And for me. It's you know what's the thing I always complain about Ordinary People, and I don't complain because I think it's a great film, is that everybody, all the actors, all the main actors got nominated. Judd Hirsch got nominated, Timothy Hutton got nominated and won, Mary Tyler Moore got nominated, and Donald Sutherland didn't, and he gives the best performance in the movie. Like it is a crime that Donald, and by the way, we've talked about this before, Donald Sutherland has never been nominated for an Oscar. How is that? Didn't they gave him an honorary one though last year? Didn't they? Because didn't he get like an honorary thing? Maybe at the you know when they give away the special awards, the technical awards and stuff. I think he got honored that night. So I don't even think it was on the broadcast. I don't even think they.
2017 Academy Honorary Award for his contributions to cinema.
Yeah, no, he deserves. He needs a real Oscar. Don't give him one of them fake ones. He's one of the best actors ever, man. All right, let's see. Let's go to the phones. Here's Tom on WGN. Hi, Tom.
Hey, what's up, Nick? Hey. You already mentioned Private Ryan, but I was going to say when they were in the cemetery. But The Wizard of Oz at the end.
At the end of what?
The Wizard of Oz.
Oh, The Wizard of Oz. Oh, you cry at The Wizard of Oz. Oh.
I used to.
Yeah.
You know, but...
Okay. Oh, very good. All right, Tom. Thanks, man. Here is Rich on WGN. Hey, Rich.
Hi. Good morning, Nick. Yes, somebody did mention Hachi. That was going to be the one that was on my pedestal. Yeah, about the one that sneaks up on you. And what kills me about that one, Nick, is it's a true story.
Yeah.
That's the hard part. It's a true story.
Yeah, yeah.
One thing, it was fiction, but I think about that movie all the time.
Yeah.
I did cry after seeing Gymkhana, realizing I spent full price on a ticket.
You're going to make our listener Brian very angry with that comment.
I know. The end of Shawshank Redemption, the very last shot, mm-hmm. is pretty emotional.
Mm-hmm.
On the beach.
Yep.
I was pretty moved by the end of both the 1976 King Kong and the Peter. I forgot the guy's last name, but the one in the 90s.
Peter Jackson?
Yeah.
Peter Jackson. Yeah, Peter Jackson's King Kong. Yeah, no, that's a beautiful...
Yeah, the best scenes of Kong. They're pretty devastating.
No, I cried during Peter Jackson's version. There's no question about it. I cried a lot during Peter Jackson's version, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And then the other one that I wanted to bring up was the gun barrel to the head in The Fly.
Yeah.
The very end.
The Fly, Rich, I cried at The Fly, too. And people are going to think we're weirdos, but the thing about that movie is, as gross and crazy as it is a really touching love story. Like, it's a tragedy. Yeah. It's a tragedy at the end of that movie. It really is. Tragedy. Yeah.
I think didn't they do a musical opera on that? The Fly? It was
did they?
Musical,
oh,
wise.
Okay.
I believe so.
All right.
Yeah.
I'll have to look into that. All right.
Yeah. All right. Have a good one.
Take care, Rich. All right.
Bye-bye.
There you go. Here's Harold on WGN. Go ahead, Harold.
Hey, what's going on, Nick? I agree with the King Kong, the Peter Jackson one, at the end when he's slipping off and he's looking at her.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I mean, and my girlfriend's like, you crying? And I'm like, look at what's happening.
Yeah, no, it's beautiful.
I loved it. West Side Story. I saw that movie when I was probably 4 or 5 years old, and at the end, when she's screaming at everybody, I can't hold it back. And last time I seen it was about 2 years ago, And the same thing. I'm sitting on a bus, and I'm just, I'm not well, you know, I'm not like, you know, full blast right. like that, but I'm like,
yeah.
I was wiping the corner of my eye. Yeah. Like as if I had dirt in it or something.
Yeah, there you go. So I have allergies. That's what you have to say. Are you crying? No, I have allergies. Thanks, Harold. 312-981-7200. Here's a great one. 708 area code at the end of Thunderbolt and Lightfoot with Jeff Bridges. Yeah, boy. That, you know, Jeff Bridges got nominated for that movie. Radio Flyer. That was a good movie. Radio Flyer. Good movie. 630 area code Crash. I'm assuming it's not the David Cronenberg one where people are having sex and crashing cars. It's probably the Paul Haggis. That would be my guess. Megan says Blue Valentine's ending. Oh my God. Yeah, Blue Valentine. That movie. I sobbed like a baby when I saw that movie. The scene with Ryan Gosling and the little girl. The documentary wise, I would say Dear Zachary, a devastating movie. Yeah, Dear Zachary made me. I was a mess watching that movie, but as Blue Valentine, the circumstances that the thing that I was going through in my life when I saw Blue Valentine was very similar to what the movie was about. With Ryan Gosling and Michelle Williams. It is a great movie, but that just absolutely destroyed me. But a lot of it has to do with what I was going through in my personal life at that time. A lot of it. So, all right, let's take a break. We've got a lot more here. People are texting in and calling in, and we're talking about sad movies and movies that make you cry. 312-981-7200. All right. Welcome back, everybody. Nick DeGilio here on 720 WGN, and we are live in the Allstate Skyline studio here until 5 a.m. Steve Grzanich has the opening bell at 5. The great Steve Cochran at 6 for your morning drive. And my dad's going to call in and tell a joke because it's a jokey time. And we also have friends with us.
That garlic gets me every time.
Oh, that's right. He should not eat garlic. He's not supposed to. The Dracula is not supposed to like, Farchula is not supposed to like garlic.
Wasn't that shocking?
See? Our good Halloween buddies here, Count Farchula and Fartenstein, they're here. 312-981-7200 is the phone number. Man, we got a ton of texts and people calling in. We've been talking about movies that make you cry because the new Star Is Born was released this past weekend, and I saw it Saturday, and it made me cry, and I loved it. It's a really great movie. Bradley Cooper not only co-wrote it, stars in it, he also directed it. He wrote some of the music and songs for it. It's a real tour de force completely. And Lady Gaga's really good in it, too. Great in it, in fact. So, 312-981-7200 is the phone number. So, let's see. We were talking about movies that make you cry. 262 area code, Forrest Gump. Yes, just screened that one this past summer as part of my Zemeckis Fest. Cried in the theater. I've seen Forrest Gump 900 times. And you remember, Dan, that when he discovers that he has a son, that's the scene that, and then the scene at Jenny's grave at the end.
Yeah, we had another texter say Jenny when Jenny died.
God almighty. Son, that was ridiculous. You could hear people, you know, because I showed it at my film club, and you could hear there was so much sniffling going on and blowing of noses during the scene at Jenny's grave. Now, you know who the kid is, right?
I do not.
Who plays his son?
No.
It's Haley Joel Osment.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah. So that was, it was, he was the, you know, he was the one, he's, you know, he puts him on the school bus at the end of the movie and everything. It's Haley Joel Osment, who would later go on to see Dead People.
Quite a tour, quite a career.
Yeah. 262 area code, We Were Soldiers. That's a good movie. 585 area code, The Champ. Oh my God. The Champ with Ricky Schroeder and John Voight. That scene just killed me when his father was gone. That, I'll tell you, I remember everybody lost their minds during that movie. I remember it came out in 79, maybe? 78, 79. And I just remember, like, that was the, everybody cried. Everybody was talking about how they cried. Ricky Schroeder makes, you know, you see, if you saw Ricky Schroeder, you'd cry.
79.
79. 847 Erica says The Ultimate Gift. Tim says Interstellar. Oh, my God, Interstellar. Oh. I lost it during that movie. Interstellar, yeah. No, that was like Interstellar, out of control sobbing. Oh, my God. And I didn't expect, you know what I mean? I did not expect to have an emotional reaction to that movie as I did. I expect, because, you know, Nolan makes kind of cold movies.
Right.
You know, and I, you know, I expected it to be awesome and cool. I didn't expect it, like, I mean, I was losing it during that movie. Did you like Interstellar?
I did.
Oh, my God. And that's the, you know, and again, I did not expect to cry, and because I've liked a ton of... Dunkirk was pretty emotional, too. Dunkirk was pretty emotional, I will say. I didn't cry. I got a little bit misty. But Interstellar, just people were leaving the theater around me. They were just like, let's get away from this guy. He's making a complete spectacle of himself. Yeah, Davis Theater. I remember, never forget, I saw it at the Davis. First time I saw Interstellar, I saw it at the Davis Theater, and I really was like weeping. God, I love that movie. Here's John on WGN. Hi, John.
Hi, how you doing?
All right.
Another movie to cry my eyes out was Bells of St. Mary's.
Oh, the Bells of St. Mary's. Yeah, Bing, that's a classic. Yeah. Yeah, people love that movie. That is an absolute classic, the Bells of St. Mary. That gets people every time. That one gets mentioned a lot. Thank you, John. 312-981-7200 is the phone number. Herb from Maryland says Paper Lion. 773 area code says Steel Magnolias. That one's had to come up a few times, I would imagine. Yeah, Steel Magnolias. I mean, I didn't. I'm not crazy about that movie. I didn't cry, but I can understand. I know a lot of people who saw Steel Magnolias and cried. 309 area code says Out of Africa kills me every time. Another great movie that I don't necessarily cry at, but it is a great movie. Dan, have we gotten a lot of Steel Magnolias?
First one, actually.
No!
Yeah.
Really? Well, I am shocked.
Mm-hmm.
405 area code says, for me, it's Schindler's List. I cry when they show the little girl's red coat, when Schindler starts saying that he could have saved more people when the Schindler Jews and their descendants placed the stones on his grave. Yeah, it's really moving. It's really, really moving, especially the real footage at the end that Spielberg puts in there. Donna says Pete's Dragon, the remake. I'm assuming the remake, because the remake made me cry, too. And White Christmas. 815 area code. Oh, here you go, Dan. Grapes of Wrath.
Mm-hmm.
There you go. 917 area code. We Bought a Zoo. Yeah, you know what? I make no apologies. I cried during We Bought a Zoo, and not because I thought it was bad. That movie made me cry, and I know, like, people hate that movie. I like that movie, and I thought it was good, and it made me cry. 630 area code says Horse Whisperer and Free Willy. Jim says I cried with Rudy and the movie Radio. Eddie Volkman is listening in. Hi, Eddie. I'm just like you, Nick. The older I get, the more I cry at everything. I even get all teary-eyed at the stupid Clydesdale Budweiser commercials with the dogs and stuff. Yeah, I know. I'm with you. Yeah. Dave says Mask makes him cry. 312 area code says 84 Charlie Mopic. Good movie. I don't think I cried during that one, but it is a good movie and one that more people should have seen. Brandy says, I took my kid to see Narnia. When the lion is presumed dead on the rock, I look down and see my six-year-old son with huge, soundless tears running down his little cheeks. Oh, little dude. Annie says, when I was small, Little Women. Yeah, I can understand that. When I was older, Fried Green Tomatoes. Oh, Fried Green Tomatoes. That's another one. Is that the only time we've gotten Fried Green Tomatoes?
Yeah.
That's shocking.
That is shocking.
Stepmom and Titanic. Whoa! I can't believe Titanic has not been mentioned. 312 area code says, I always cry at the Joy Luck Club and Glory. Both of the movies are heartbreaking. I agree. I agree with both of those. So Glory is a beautiful movie. Really beautiful. Here's David on WGN. Hi, David. Are you there, David?
Hello, this is Jeff.
Oh, it's Jeff. Hi, Jeff. Go ahead.
Yeah, I got a musical.
Okay.
I got a musical for you, and I think I might be too old for you guys. Carousel.
Carousel. I love Carousel. I don't cry when I watch it, but I love it.
At the end, when he falls on the knife, you know,
yeah.
It's kind of like, yeah.
Yeah.
But I thought that was a good one for a tearjerker, kind of.
Cool. All right, Jeff. Thanks, man.
All right.
Take care. There you go. Yeah. Okay. How about Old Yeller, man? Nobody texted Old Yeller?
Nobody's mentioned Old Yeller.
How do you not mention Old Yeller? It's like the scene in Stripes. All right, how many people cried during Old Yeller? Oh, you didn't cry during Old Yeller. And John Candy, all right, he puts his hand up. I cried my eyes out. Yeah, let's see. What else we got here? Beaches, Steel Magnolias, Dead Poets Society. I guess that movie makes people cry. Longtime Companion, oh yeah. That's a big one. Awakenings, that's the one with Robert De Niro and Robin Williams. I hate that movie. Oh man, Dead Man Walking. Dead Man Walking with Sean Penn and Susan Sarandon. Yeah. That's a big one now. That's a cry movie right there. That's a movie you're going to cry when you watch. No question about it. All right. Let's see. We got a few more here if you want to jump in. Text or talk, 312-981-7200. Movies that make you cry, 312-981-7200. Oh, yeah. Hey, welcome back, everybody. How you doing? Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN, and we are live in the Allstate Skyline Studio. We are here until 5 a.m., and it's Monday morning. That means my dad's going to call in and tell a joke because it's a jokey time, and we'll have a crazy Blackhawks Express to play back from the crazy game from last night, their home opener. 312-981-7200 is the phone number. We are talking about movies that make you cry in honor of the release of Bradley Cooper's version of A Star is Born, which is great. Really, really great. So what movies make you cry? 312-981-7200. You know what movie a lot of people cried at from last year was Call Me By Your Name.
Hmm.
Yeah, I was pretty moved by it. I didn't cry, but I was pretty moved by it. Yeah, so that was a big one from last year. 312-981-7200 is the phone number. Here is LJ on WGN. Hi, LJ.
What's going on, Nick?
Hey.
The one that came to mind, it actually had a poem that was written by a character that said, "Who would cry for the little boy?"
Mm.
Denzel directed it, Antoine Fisher.
Right. Right.
Right. And that really didn't get me, the tearjerker moment. It was when he finally found his family.
Mm-hmm.
After he talked to his mother, he came back to his auntie's house, and they had bust in like three or four generations of his family in the course of 1 hour. I don't know how they did that.
Right, right.
That got to me when he came back to the house and he had all of his family waiting on him, welcoming him to the family.
Right.
That got to me.
Yeah, I can understand that. I can understand that. All right, LJ, thanks, man.
All right. Now.
Have a good one. 312-981-7200.
If I remember correctly, that's actually the movie that inspired Steve Cochran to find his birth mother.
Is that right?
I believe so.
Wow, okay. Wow, okay, I didn't know that. Very cool. All right, here is Phil on WGN. Hi, Phil.
Hey, how you doing, Nick?
All right.
So one of my top movies that would make me cry, or at least a great emotional experience, would be P.S. I Love You with Gerard Butler, Hilary Swank, Harry Connick Jr., Kathy Bates. Just a great cast, great writing. Oh, man.
I like that movie. I didn't cry, but I like that movie. And despite the fact that Gerard Butler's in it, but
right, yeah. and that was not his typical role. So when he passed away, right away in the beginning, it was like, wow, like
yeah.
This is something serious. And then, you know, there's they just play so many clever tricks on you in that movie, and you know, in the end, you finally find out it's great movie though.
It is. It's a good film. Richard LeGravenaise wrote and directed that movie. He's a great screenwriter and a good filmmaker.
Yeah. So,
all right, Phil. Yep. Thanks, buddy.
Thank you.
Take care. P.S. I love you. You ever see that one, Dan?
I have not.
Yeah, it's good, despite the fact that Gerard Butler's in it. You know, in a couple of weeks, that Gerard Butler submarine movie comes out.
One of our listeners actually just called in a few minutes ago to make sure that you were aware of it.
Oh, man. Yeah, no, it opens in a couple of weeks. I think it opens in the Halloween weekend. I'm not sure why they would open it on Halloween weekend. But there's kind of a lull in the releases because, like, the 19th of October, obviously Halloween comes out, and that's going to be, you know, it's going to make a ton of money, and of course I'm going to see that. And then the following week that comes out, but then the November 2nd, there's a bunch of movies that open on November 2nd, including Suspiria, the Suspiria remake. But yeah, it'll be uncontested that week. That's going to be Killer Murder. Or something. It's a submarine movie with Gerard Butler.
Hunter Killer.
See? Close. Hunter Killer. So I, yeah. Now, see, legally, I have to see it, Dan.
That's why our listener called in.
It's a submarine movie. I legally am required to see it. Even though it looks really bad. But it's a submarine movie, so I'll love it. No one mentioned The Notebook?
Yeah, nobody's mentioned The Notebook.
How is that possible? That no one mentioned The Notebook? That one, the Notebook got to me. I got very weepy during that movie. I know a lot of people hate that movie, but I like The Notebook. I think The Notebook's a good movie. And I'm really shocked that nobody mentioned it. More texts are coming in, too. If you want to jump in, it's 312-981-7200. Somebody mentions here on this list The Bridges of Madison County, which is absolutely true. Bridges of Madison County is a movie that made me cry my eyes out. And that's another one of those things where they actually made a movie that was like 8,000 times better than the book, because Bridges of Madison County is a terrible book, but they made a great movie out of it. Clint Eastwood made a great movie out of it. And then the other example of that is American Psycho. American Psycho is an absolutely awful movie, but they made an awful book. American Psycho, terrible, terrible, awful book, made a great movie out of it. Oh, man, here's one. Big Fish. Dan, have you seen Big Fish?
I have not.
Oh, my God. Oh, man. Cried like a lunatic during that. That's a Tim Burton movie. So that's a great one, man. Great one. 815 area code says, The Family Stone, the Diane Keaton, Craig Nelson bed scene, and her revealing her cancer to Mulrooney, it tore my heart out. And then 847 area said, Phenomenon. Phenomenon, that's the Travolta movie, right? I don't remember that one being... I remember not liking it very much, but I don't remember that one being particularly tear-jerky. David said, Goodbye, my lady. I had the same breed of dog. See, that's another thing. You have the same breed when you're watching that movie. And you're watching a movie and they kill off a dog. 708 area code says Toy Story 3. Toy Story 3, you know, when they're on that conveyor belt going in to get, you know, into get burned to like in it, you know, to be into the flames, I was like, what's happening here? What am I watching? These are like beloved characters and they're being slowly lowered into a giant oven? And then at the very end, you know, when the toys are given away. Yeah. And you know, they're doing a Toy Story 4. I don't know where they're going to go with it.
I had heard that.
Toy Story 4, I guess it comes out next year, I think. But I don't know where they're going to go. I guess they're going to have to find a new kid, right?
Well, isn't that...
Is this a kid at the end of the third one?
I don't know, but I would assume based upon that.
Well, you know, because Andy's now, what, is he 40? No. Hey, whatever happened to the kid that lived next door, the creepy kid that lived next door that liked to rip apart his toys? What was it, Sid, right?
Sid, yeah.
Yeah. Wonder whatever happened to that guy. Wonder if he's a well-adjusted guy now. That was some creepy stuff. You know, that little hybrid that, with the doll head and everything, and the spider legs?
Sure. That comes,
that's creepy, man. Have you showed...
She watched it once, and she got freaked out.
The first one?
We are, yes. So we are Toy Story 2 only.
Oh, I see. Toy Story 3 is... No.
Yeah.
With that scene where they're going into the fire, no.
I haven't seen it, but...
Oh, you haven't seen it? Oh, my God, Dan.
I'm not going to... I mean, I had heard about what happened, so it's like... No,
it's like, wait a minute. Wait, hold on. You can't kill off these characters. You can't burn these characters up. And they're crying, and they're, like, facing their own death. I'm like, I don't... What is happening? Pixar, what are you doing, man? As we've established already, it's a requirement to cry at a Pixar movie. They go out of their way to make sure that you're going to cry when you see a Pixar movie. And they make great movies, too, though, man. They really do. All right. Let's take a break here. We got the news coming up right after this, and then we'll wrap this up. My dad's going to tell a joke, and we'll hear the crazy Blackhawks Express from last night's absolutely crazy game, especially that last period. So we will take a break, and we'll come back with more after this. All right. Welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN, and we are live in the Allstate Skyline Studio here until 5 a.m. I'm your overnight dude, 1 a.m. to 5 a.m. every weekday morning. It's Monday morning. That means my dad's going to call in and tell a joke because it's a jokey time. And we're going to play back the Blackhawks Express from that crazy game from last night. 312-981-7200 is the phone number. We've been talking about movies that make you cry because just over the weekend, this version of A Star Is Born, Bradley Cooper stars in, co-wrote the songs, and directed it along and stars along with Lady Gaga. And it really is one of the best movies of the year. I was surprised at how much I really loved it. I was moved by it. I thought the acting was fantastic, particularly by Bradley Cooper, who, without question, should be nominated for Best Actor for the Academy Award. And I was very moved by it. It made me cry. So we've been talking about movies that make you cry. We've been getting a ton of calls and texts. Apparently, people like to cry at movies. So that's what we're learning here, is people enjoying a good cry at the movies. You know, Mary's in traffic. I wanted to jump in here. Hey, Mary, are you there?
She's got to grab her headphones.
Oh, she's grabbing her headphones. Okay. She's getting them right now. I can see. I wanted to get maybe Mary's thoughts on this, especially since we had to call her call up and mention Ice Castles with Robbie Benson. I don't know if that's one of her favorites. I don't know.
Ice Castles?
Yeah.
Well, it's Robbie, of course.
It's Robbie Benson.
But it didn't make me... Well, like, I think it did. When I was a teenager, yeah, I was probably crying.
Yeah, the blind ice skating girl.
Just because I couldn't go out with Robbie. That's
because you couldn't go out with Robbie
crying.
Benson. That's right.
Yes.
That's right. Mm-hmm. Are there any movies that come to... Because this new Star Is Born, by the way.
Oh, I got to see it. I haven't seen it yet.
So good. I was pretty much blown away by it. I've never been a Lady Gaga fan, but she's great in the movie, and the songs are great, and Bradley Cooper way out of control in terms of all the stuff he did.
And I can't wait to see it. I love both of them.
Yeah, it's a great... I mean, seriously, Bradley Cooper, you know, it's one of the best performances. I think it's the best performance he's ever given. And I mean, it's just great. But it made me cry, so that's what we got. Now, do you have any that are go-to for you crying?
The number one that comes to me is Brian's Song.
Brian's Song. That is overwhelmingly the most popular one that we've got this morning.
Especially at the end when he says, I love Brian Piccolo. And you're like, oh,
I know.
So do I.
That came up more than Dan by far, right? I mean,
that line in the movie is, boy, that just gets me all the time. Beaches gets me all the time. I don't know. There's so many.
There's
of
a
them.
Lot of them.
Yeah.
How about The Notebook?
Yeah, I guess.
Oh, okay.
I mean, I'm not a big fan of The Notebook, but it does...
Steel Magnolias?
I never liked that movie.
So, wow. Me neither. But that seemed to be a pretty popular choice,
yeah,
though.
That was just too depressing.
Yeah, yeah. Okay.
But those are the ones that come off the top of my head. I'll think of some more.
Think of some more, and also just know that Robbie Benson was mentioned this morning. So, thank you. Okay. Mary Vandeveld, big fan of Robbie Benson. Let's see. Let's go to the phones. Here's Thomas on WGN. Hey, Thomas.
Hey, Nick. I saw that Star Is Born on date night Friday night with my wife.
Yeah.
And
You know, I heard that you guys said it was a tearjerker, and before we went into the show with recliners, it was awesome.
Yeah.
I got some paper towels, put them in my back pocket. And as soon as I could hear her sniffing, I handed her a paper towel. Well, the next morning, she's at the grocery store. I'm laying in bed. I'm looking at Facebook. I see the post for A Star Is Born. I watch the trailer. And the trailer made me cry. It was such a moving movie. So I call her and I say, hey, I just watched the trailer for A Star Is Born, and I cried for you. She goes, you wussy. She comes home, watches the trailer, she's crying.
Yeah.
It was a great movie. It is absolutely best movie of the year.
It is one of the best movies of the year. I agree with you, Thomas. And it's Bradley Cooper and Lady Gaga are both amazing in it. It is
outstanding.
Yep.
Outstanding.
Completely. Okay, yeah. Thomas, thanks, buddy.
Love the show, Nick.
Okay, man, see ya. Yeah, I saw it, you know, like Colin said earlier during the reviews, you know, try to see it in the Dolby theaters because of the sound, because the concert scenes and the music scenes are amazing, and they sound so great in those Dolby theaters. And, of course, the Dolby theaters are pretty cool, too, because they've got the big reclining seats where you can just recline and relax.
So you know they're playing that song Shallow all over the place now on the radio.
It's a great song.
It's a really good song. He's a good singer.
Like, where did this come from? And he can play the guitar? I was like, what is happening here?
I don't know. You know, a lot of actors, though, are multi-talented that, and they all sing and play something, and, you know.
Well, this came out of nowhere. I had no idea that he was that good. And you know, the songs that he plays, like, that his character plays before he starts writing with, you know, the Lady Gaga character, are great, too. Like, the opening song is a jam. The first song that they play during the opening is fantastic. The soundtrack is great. I mean, people should go out and buy the soundtrack because, I mean, there's so many great songs on the soundtrack. It's just such a good movie. Really good. Let's see. We got more texts coming in. 630 area code says, I was growing up, it was the Cowboys with John Wayne. It was the first time I saw John Wayne's character die. You know who shoots John Wayne in that movie, right, Dan?
Bruce Dern.
That's right, Bruce Dern. One of the things that he's best known for is he killed John Wayne in the movie. People hated him. Oh, did they hate him? You can't kill the Duke. 312 area code says Mighty Joe Young. Yeah, I can see that. 815 La La Land. Oh yeah, I cried at La La Land. I did. Yentl, another Barbra Streisand. Whale Rider. That's a fantastic movie. I'm glad somebody brought that one up. Matt from Marengo says A River Runs Through It. That's the fishing movie, the fly fishing movie, with Brad Pitt and Craig Sheffer, Anthony Hopkins, directed by Robert Redford. 708 area code, Homeward Bound. Dan, did you cry during Homeward Bound?
I did.
I know that's one of your favorites.
Indeed.
815 area code, The Green Mile. Nah. Cried because of the length. Lulu says Dances with Wolves. I can't go there with that one. I can't. Can't go with you on that one, Lulu. Sorry. Here's Ray on WGN. Hi, Ray.
Hey, Nick.
Hey.
Just the movie I was thinking of, it's an old movie, Nick, but I cannot make it through the movie. It's The Fighting Sullivans.
Oh.
About the five brothers that are killed, and they made it a federal law that the brothers can't serve in the same theater now because of all five of them being dying.
Yeah, no, that is a great movie, Ray. That's a classic, too. That's an absolute classic. Yeah. Wow. All right, thank you.
Have a great day.
All right, Ray, take care. Yeah. Let's see. 815 area code says, Boys in the Hood when Ricky gets shot. Len says, The Passion of the Christ. Brutal movie. Andrea says, I took my dog loving 8 and 13-year-olds to see 8 Below. We were all sobbing, and they were so mad for taking them to see the movie. I'll never watch it again. Yeah, you know, there was Dan, when that movie came out, 8 Below, and that's, that's Paul Walker, right? I think Paul Walker's the star of that movie. They don't warn you, you know what I mean? They did not do a suitable warning for that one.
Yes, Paul Walker.
Yeah, because I think I think a lot of people had the same experience. You took your 8-year-old and your 13-year-old to see this movie, and they love dogs, and then you see this movie, and what happens in the movie is very unexpected. And I think a lot of people were blind. It's a good movie. It's a really good movie, but it's just, man, please. Carmen says, happy tears for the boy in Wonder and his achievement. Oh, my God, that movie. That was from last year. Dan, you haven't seen that one, right?
No, we haven't
seen
it.
Oh, my God. That was my parents and I. I just one of the few times I've seen my dad cry during a movie. This is the one with Jacob Tremblay and Julia Roberts and Owen Wilson. It is so emotional. I mean, you cry. Oh, my God. Let's see. 630 area code says that last scene in Hidalgo when Viggo Mortensen releases him back to his herd, and it's a true story, too. 312 area code says Dark Victory with Betty Davis. Oh, yeah, classic tearjerker there. And then the Diane Fossey biopic Gorillas in the Mist makes me cry from beginning to end. Wow, that's interesting. Sigourney Weaver. You know that movie's 30 years old this year? That and Working Girl. She got nominated twice that year. She was nominated for lead actress for Gorillas in the Mist and supporting actress for Working Girl. And she didn't win either of them. But yeah, both of those movies, Working Girl's 30 years old too. Man. Let's see. 630 area code says about Shawshank, the Get Busy Living scene, of course. 847 area code says The Clown, starring Red Skelton from the early 50s. 773 area code says Lion. Oh, yeah, that's a good one. Phil says Sid actually comes back in Toy Story 3. He's the garbage truck driver. Oh, I don't remember that.
He said it was like a quick thing, like you have to be looking for it.
Oh, man. Okay. Thomas says Cinema Paradiso. Yeah, the ending of that movie gets to a lot of people. I like that movie. I didn't love it as much as most people do. How about this one? How about Million Dollar Baby? Clint Eastwood and Hilary Swank? A Walk to Remember? Got that one. Wendy and Lucy. That you ever see that movie, Dan? About it's a real low budget movie with Michelle Williams, and she loses her dog.
No.
Oh, it's a great movie. Nobody saw it. I don't know why I'm asking if you saw it, because like five people saw it. It's like an ultra ultra low budget movie, real indie movie, and nobody saw it. I mean, it made my top 15. I think the year it came out. So, yeah. Beasts of the Southern Wild. That's a good one. Very good one. All right. Okay, we are going to break here. We've got some weather. Then we're going to break. My dad's going to come back, and we're going to hear a joke from my dad because it's a jokey time. And then we will play back the Blackhawks Express from that crazy home opener from last night. Yeah.
Ooh, it's the best part of the week, baby. Time to hear something funny. Here we go with your music intro.
Ah! It's a jokey time. It's a jokey time. Nick's dad tells a joke.
Yeah! What'd I say?
It's a jokey time. It's a jokey time. Nick's dad tells a joke.
Ah, yes! Here we go!
Yeah. Welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We're live in the Allstate Skyline studio. Steve Grzanich coming up at 5, and Steve Cochran coming up at 6. And coming up next, the stories that matter with Vic Vaughn from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom on WGN Radio. That theme that you just heard means clearly that it's a jokey time. My dad calls up every Monday morning to start off our work week with a laugh, and he tells a joke every week, and let's get him on the show right now. Hey, Dad.
Hey, Nick.
How are you?
Good.
How's Mom?
Good. Mom had two tear jerker movies, Lassie Come Home and Black Beauty.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, Lassie Come Home, Roddy McDowell.
I don't know, but that's...
Yeah, Roddy McDowell was a kid. He was a kid in that movie. Roddy McDowell was the...
I gotcha.
Yeah, no, yeah, that's a big one. That's a good one. Here's
my joke.
Okay.
A man goes into the bar and admires the stuffed lion head mounted on the wall. what a great trope, said the man to the bartender. He said, I wouldn't call it great, replied the bartender. The lion killed my wife. He said, oh, my God. He said, were you on a safari? No, said the bartender. It fell on her head.
All right.
That's a good one. That's a good one, Dad. That was good.
All right, Ned.
Okay, all right. I'll see, bye. See you later. That was funny, man. No, it fell on her head. Oh, it's a good thing he put it back up. So, all right, let's hear that.
That was jokey, jokey, jokey time. It was a jokey, jokey, jokey time. Nick's dad told a joke.
He'll do it again next week, telling a joke. That one really, I don't know why, that one really got me. I'm not really sure why I like that one as much as I did. Yeah, so we've got a Blackhawks Express here, and then we're going to wrap up the show. And if you want to sneak in here with a couple of more tearjerker movies, it's 312-981-7200 is the phone number. All right, it was a crazy game last night, a truly crazy game, especially like the last 4 minutes of the third period. It was nuts. And so let's hear the madness in our Blackhawks Express. All right, we're going to break. And by the way, tomorrow morning, Steve and Johnny are going to be here. The fantastic Steve and Johnny. And that's coming up tomorrow. And we'll have the news next.